are new people. This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis. Up for another day of broadcast insolence.
And it's a Monday, so I don't know what that means other than I had a lot of coffee today. I switched over to tea, but we're going to make it.
I did a ton of coffee as well.
Really?
A lot of coffee.
Well-caffeinated
Southside
team.
Southside Parade yesterday. I needed it.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I happen to have been in Beverly on Saturday.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
I've marched in the Southside Parade a number of times. I love the Southside Parade. I enjoy it. It's a ton of fun. But I saw them placing porta potties. I guess you could use that for anything, right? Not just the urination.
Thanks for clarifying, bro.
So funny on Western Avenue. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's where it runs down Western Avenue, right? Down to 111th Street. Mm-hmm. I think it starts at 95th to 111th, something like that.
I think this year is 103rd to 115th.
It's not really clear where it ends.
103rd to 115th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it starts at 95th for the staging, and then they start marching it at 103rd.
So where do the urinals start?
The gay station. They were like three blocks east on the side streets.
Too far.
Oh my God. I'm like, they were like encouraging people to walk to like the, you
into
know,
the neighborhood.
Go to the neighborhood to go pee. Don't worry about it. Now,
the interesting thing
on that side of the street, that's the dry side of the street on Western Avenue. Let me just explain a little bit how this works.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they do it over by the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Western Avenue, in that area, if you are on the west side of Western Avenue, you can have a liquor license. If you're on the east side of Western Avenue, you cannot have a liquor license.
That's fascinating. So that's why you don't see it. But do you have any grandfathered in situations over there?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. I'm trying to think myself. I think
you never see alcohol around there.
See, the point is that they wanted to clean up the Southside Irish Parade.
Oh, it shut down for 2 years.
Yeah,
right?
Because there was so much bad behavior. I was talking to a buddy of mine today who's a retired Chicago police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he used to see people. He lived two blocks off of Western Avenue down there.
Yeah.
And he, like, while having dinner, he would see people doing both pieces of business.
Oh, gee.
In his yard.
Oh, both.
Yeah. And he's armed. You know, that doesn't end well. Of course, everybody down there is. You know, that's the way it is. But it's a funny deal because they cleaned it up.
Now
it's all family friendly because they used to actually have, you know, as part of the Southside Irish festivities, there was a projectile vomiting contest. There was a try to complete a full sentence.
Right. Punch someone that you were mad at, but not probably able to make contact contest.
Right. Exactly. There was a drunk wrestling contest, I think, right in front of Cork and Kerry. Anyway, the point is, that was just guys that were out there. But it was loaded. The whole idea here was.
You forgot the groping contest inside the bars.
Yes, there was that.
Because that was not pleasant either.
I just want to buy you a drink.
Too many people. I'm sorry. I had to bump into you there.
Okay.
I was reaching for my cane. You don't have a cane. Okay. You caught me, officer. Anyway, the point is they cleaned it up.
Well, there are no arrests this year at all, Southside Irish Parade, and they say that's several years in a row now.
Yeah, they cleaned it up. They actually did.
They did.
Yeah.
They're proud of that, they said.
Yeah. They want to make it about the families.
Yeah, total family man there. Kevin, how was it?
Yeah, total family-friendly environment yesterday.
Where were you standing?
Well, see, we actually didn't do the parade, like watch the parade.
Oh, you just went to houses afterwards,
well,
right?
That's the thing. The Southside's so, it's just like instead of a bar crawl, it's like a house crawl.
Right.
It's like you just bop like one house to the next house. You walk down an alley. You pop into a backyard. You go to Timmy's and then Tommy's and then back to Timmy's and then over.
Did you go to Mikey's? I was invited to Mikey's.
Yeah, Louie was there as well.
Louie?
Yeah.
Louie.
Why was there an Italian there?
There was a Louie.
It's not allowed.
There was
a
Louie.
Are you sure?
And we went back to Jimmy's. Like half the crowd there is like Jimmy. Is it Jimmy?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's like a bar hop, but houses. I had so much corned beef yesterday, and there's beers.
Great.
It was awesome. First time I had gone down there for it, and it was
amazing.
A blast. It was awesome.
Yeah, the house thing, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's the,
everybody takes so much pride in it, too.
Well,
like, everybody's got to have the best house. Everybody's got a huge food spread, all the beer, and like all the festivities. Mm-hmm. Everybody takes pride in having the best house for the parade.
Did the house parties acknowledge the no alcohol rule that was present along the parade route?
No, I can't confirm that. No, there was some alcohol present.
See, now the houses, like the people walked with their their solo cups, the red solo cups. Yeah. But the bars now have cracked down on people just walking in and out of the bars and getting the drinks and, you know, coming out. That's the, they have changed that. But the I was at the, there's an Ace Hardware down there.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with it.
On the, in between the Beverly and the Mount Greenwood. Mm-hmm. And I happened to have been in there buying something a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and there was a there was literally a fight in the Irish lights section. You know, they had Irish, like,
the ones you wear around your neck.
No, it was stuff you put in your house, like in the window of your house, like a gigantic shamrock that lights up
decoration.
You know,
that's big down there.
Oh, it's huge.
And there was one left.
There was two people, women who should have known better. Who both could have kicked my keister, pulling on it. Like, no, this is mine. No, this is mine.
Oh, gee.
Like, go, Mary.
Oh, gosh.
Exactly. No, Mary Pat. They're both named Mary.
Mary Frances and Mary Pat.
Mary Frances, Mary Pat, Mary Ann. And Mary Ann came in.
Uh-huh. Not Mary Ann Ahern.
Right. No.
Okay, good.
And she came in, and she, and then Mary Joy came in after her.
Oh, gee.
It's, all right, we got to stop. All right, we're all stopping this.
Well, Kelly would have won the fight, but
Kelly might have won, right. But that's so. That was so. That I, that's they take it totally seriously now. I don't think there's any part of you know, save maybe parts of New York City, maybe that take it as seriously as Beverly and Mount Greenwood take St. Patrick's Day.
Sure,
and but the same the way you pronounce them, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Patrick's. Say it again for me.
St. Patrick's Day.
Patrick's Day. Yeah. I am happy they cleaned it up because I was part of it before, and maybe not as much, but as it ramped up to be totally crazy and I was on the floats and poured out into those bars, it was a little outrageous, wasn't it? And I don't really think that families felt comfortable.
No.
So now you've got the house parties and people can go and do what they want. And then along the parade route, it's clean and there are no arrests and no fighting and none of the
and every crazy politician you could possibly imagine.
I know, they're all there.
In that parade. Every single one. I wonder if the Nazi was down there who was running for Congress and, as a Republican.
That's a good question.
Down in the, what is that? The
be well received, but.
I don't know. But I mean, but you do wonder if that guy wanted to go down there. I mean, there was like, but it's like every union is represented.
Uh-huh.
Every politician is represented.
Mm-hmm.
Every, and people not even running in those wards.
Yeah.
Right?
It's one of those with a lot of cars, like a lot of convertibles or, you know, with a lot of waving on top.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not like fun floats. There's not like gigantic balloons.
No, it's not like Thanksgiving
going down.
Parade
no,
or
it's
something.
Not like that. That's kind of the next thing they should do.
I think so.
I don't want to suggest too much because then they'll put me on the committee.
Yeah, Ro, you got some good ideas.
Yeah, well,
come on board.
You're in charge now.
Design a float for us, Ro, and you can stand out and wave to the kids.
You seem to know where the bathroom should go and how the float should be.
I tell you where the bathroom should not go. Down the block is where they should not go.
Too
I saw the porta potty guys are dropping these things
I'd
off,
agree.
And you're like. I mean, stop that.
Maybe that was for the house parties. They had been ordering them for the parties. Timmy got some more Johns in the backyard for everyone.
Ed can't go in. Jimmy's in there right now. And Mikey's in line.
Oh, gee.
Pull the pickup truck out back. We need some porta potties.
That's a really amazing amount of pickup trucks back there, aren't there?
There are.
I mean, it is.
Like, we're in the city of Chicago.
The city is not known for pickup trucks except there.
It's cops, firefighters, and like contractors.
Tons of contractors.
And everybody. The only people I know in the city of Chicago who have pickup trucks live in Beverly.
Yeah. Well, they're contractors. They got the pickup trucks with the silver boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know that you can step on because they've got the slide proof tops.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's what that is. It's, and actually, most of them are firefighters who are also
both.
Contractors.
Right. Yes. I was going to say some of them do both.
Or city workers, you know, they get something.
Great time, though. Hoping to make it a yearly tradition.
It's the best. I love that neighborhood.
Same.
I just adore it.
It's a small town feel. Like,
I
you
like
walk
the people.
From house to house to
it's
house.
It's beautiful.
It is.
I mean, it is actually, you when you walk through it, it's like Pleasantville.
Yeah.
And it's and the you know, the folks down there, the stores and all that, you know, people talk about, you know, the rough and tumble nature of the South Side and stuff. But there's parts of Beverly, though, that are just... And you know it's people, you know, it's a mixing of all the peoples of Chicago in the same neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and everybody gets along, and that's one of the untold stories of this city. We spend so much time talking about the things that are going wrong as opposed to things that are going right. Things go right down there, except of course at the Ace Hardware during St. Patrick's Day.
No, that was not good. That was not representative of the neighborhood.
Give me that.
Yeah.
This is my lucky charm.
This is
my shamrock, all right?
It's supposed to be a celebration.
All right. Right now, Judy, why don't you tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom? All right. Ben Bradley is with us right now in the WGN-TV newsroom.
Hello, Mr. Khan. Good to be with you on this Monday.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. All right, a couple of different things here that are going on. First of all, I know you're watching this this story out of Austin, Texas. I just saw a notification. There have been three bombings there, two today alone, one a couple days ago. And now authorities think that this might be related to the South by Southwest festival. In some way.
Yeah, the police down in Austin just held a briefing where they confirmed for the first time, you know, previous suspicions that three bombings are all related. As you said, two were today. One was about 2 weeks or so ago. We understand two people have been killed in these bombings, and these were bombs that were delivered in packages that were left outside people's homes. The triggering mechanism for it was either opening the package or just moving the package.
Wow.
And they said that they had checked with FedEx, UPS, the Postal Service, and none of them were delivered officially, so they must have been put there, I suppose?
Yeah, somebody must have dropped it off. Police didn't say whether or not there may have been, you know, doorbell surveillance video, anything like that, whether doorbells were wrong. Yeah, you know, nowadays, you would think that there would be some video somewhere, you know, when somebody is approaching several different homes in a residential area of Austin, Texas. And, you know, and initially there was a thought that perhaps African-Americans were being targeted because the first two victims were black. The third victim, a woman, was Hispanic. Now, again, because of the detonation mechanism, you never know if you know, the person who was injured by one of these was, in fact, the intended target. You know, I hate to say it, we saw that with the Unabomber back here in the Chicago area back in the 70s and 80s, in which, you know, some people who were not the intended victims, just by moving the packages, set off the detonation.
Right. But they were able to assume the address, because the Unabomber was actually using postal services to get his stuff to them.
Right. His first bombing was actually here in the Chicago area, and Ted Kaczynski raised in Evergreen Park.
Yeah,
attended Evergreen Park High School there for a while.
Not too far from Beverly, as we were just discussing.
Yep, and his first in his first attack there, it was directed at a professor, but the professor became suspicious and called campus police, and it was the campus police officer, I believe, if memory serves, that was injured.
Right. Yeah. So authorities are believing that these are all related, and that this is obviously people should be aware. To be careful about, and in this particular area at this moment, we don't know if it has spread anywhere else, but at least in this part of Central Texas, essentially, is where these all three of these have taken place, right? In and around Austin?
Yeah, in and around the Austin area. But boy, think about it nowadays. It seems like you can't go more than a couple of doors without seeing a box or a package on somebody's step. So, you know, what a way to construct a delivery device.
Absolutely. And police are saying if you didn't order anything, then don't pick up a package, don't touch it. But, I mean, you order things and you might not know what this is anyway, because how many of us have so many packages coming to your doorstep anyway?
Right.
Which one is it? Which one isn't?
Yeah, if I were in the Austin area right now, I wouldn't be opening any packages. And that's what police indicated. They said, hey, they're encouraging extreme caution. They want people to be aware this is going on. They don't want people to panic. But when you have two detonations today alone in a very small geographic area, that's obviously a targeted attack of some sort.
Sure. Boy. And no motive, obviously. They don't know.
No, we don't know who did it. And forgive me, because I did not hear the full briefing that just wrapped up about 5 minutes or so ago. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, don't know things like, you know, was there a manifesto? Was there a letter? Was there other information inside? But you better believe that the bomb techs, ATF, all looking at how the bomb was constructed, where the parts came from, et cetera. That's how they trace that stuff back.
Right, right. And they're very good at it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
are.
The, you know, it took them forever, but they finally got Kaczynski, right?
Well, his brother turned him in, didn't he?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's,
one of his family members.
That's, but they got him, is the point. I mean, it took forever, and they were able to finally figure it out.
Let's not use that as the example, because I think he was bombing people from 1978 to the mid-1990s.
All right, whatever. The point is, that they always do get their man in this particular case, right. In these kinds of cases. It's a very, because you have to be able to assemble these kinds of items. Right. And now there's incredibly good technology for tracking the purchase of parts that would be used in things like this. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And as you pointed out, there's a camera everywhere.
So you think if they're personally dropping these off or having someone drop them off, the chances of them getting close to finding some clues soon would be pretty big.
And the way those cameras are right now, you can be pretty close to it and not even realize you're being recorded.
Absolutely. I was outside a door the other day, and I just was like, oh, they're not home. And suddenly I realized their doorbell was a camera and a listening device. Mm-hmm. And they talked to me from remotely, wherever they were. And they said, no, we're not home right now. We're gonna
back away from the house.
Don't try anything.
Yes. Do not steal our Amazon delivery, Anna. You look very, very suspicious.
So there you go. Another example. Being watched.
I do like the commercials where the lady's sitting in the beauty parlor, uh-huh. And then she gets on her phone and screams at some guy who's trying to break into her house. I mean, that to me is not how I would react if I were sitting in a beauty parlor.
Well,
I would have a different reaction.
I thought for sure in your bunker that you have that feature where you're just monitoring everything going on outside your house, and you get over a loudspeaker when some poor kid comes to your door to sell Girl Scout cookies. Uh-huh.
Get away.
Yes.
You would do that, Ro, I think. That's something you would have fun with. Or Violetta.
Step away from the door.
I have you on
Put
camera.
Put your hands up and back up and get on your knees.
But leave me some Samoas and Thin Mints as you run.
Drop the Thin Mints.
I have seen many people impersonate 10-year-olds before.
It's a fake Girl Scout, I'm sure of it.
You know, I will say, Ro, I did notice when I was last at your house, you are in kind of a compound there. I mean, you've got multiple fences. You can't really, despite living in the city, you can't really get anywhere close to your place. And I don't know if we should take that personally, but you actually met us outside the gate.
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah.
He did that to you?
Yes.
I did, Didn't even get inside the gate?
I mean, it's Ben Bradley.
Oh, my gosh.
Why am I going to let Ben Bradley? Listen, let me
first
just
you do that to Sapelsa. He has to go to your alley.
Let
and now poor Ben.
I don't think I should be having television journalists inside my compound. That's all I'm saying.
Compound?
Yes.
That's what we're calling it now?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what Ben called it. I wouldn't call it that. All right, I might call it that.
High security compound. It pretty much is, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it was it went great. And thank you. Thank you very much for all of your help in being there. Yeah, Ben. And Ben was there with a camera.
I know.
There's two guys. It's Pelsa there and then Ben there.
Yes, you did.
Well, I mean, shouldn't
it's
I start
a good
to,
thing you're in a compound. Right.
Shouldn't I start to get a little bit...
within the span of a week or two,
right.
too.
Right, I know.
So at this point, your neighbors, if they were not already suspicious of what was going on inside, you know, because they would say, that guy, he kept odd hours. Yeah.
Attention, neighbors. There's nothing to see here.
You're right, Ben. He's totally that guy. That lady you go around like, we didn't know, but he was awfully quiet and a little weird, kept to himself. He
yelled
had these parties on the
approached.
Deck, but he really didn't invite anybody.
Yep.
And
by myself.
Halloween, he did weird stuff, like pour chocolate sauce into kids' hands.
That wasn't me. Hold on. Why am I in my own dream?
Strange guy, I guess. Should have connected the dots.
We should just go around for laughs and interview his neighbors to see what they would say.
Wouldn't that be a great story?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, there's a few you definitely don't want to talk to. that's all
Mrs.
I want.
Mrs. Tannenbaum
say.
Is not going to give you good reviews.
There's some of the things she's seen, unfortunately. But it was those were different days.
Yeah. It was that you've only lived there like a year or two, right? So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, we got to go, Ben. Thank you very much for stopping
by.
Ben Bradley, WGN TV News, starting at 4 o'clock tonight.
You don't need any stinking investigative journalists all over your stuff. Ro.
Here is Judy Pilak with the WGN News, being brought to you by AppleChevy.com.
Oh, I'd love Oprah to win. I'd love to beat Oprah. I know her weakness. No, I know her weakness. I know her. You know, I know her very well. I was on her last show, or one of the last, I guess, the last week. She had Donald Trump and Donald Trump's family. My, we've come down a long way, haven't we? I'm now president and probably, but think of it. I know her weakness. Wouldn't we love to run against Oprah? I would love it. That would be a painful experience for her.
All right. We all know Oprah's weakness.
I love bread.
That's it.
She does have that weakness.
I don't know how he's going to use that against her, but whatever.
I don't know. Bread can be very dangerous used in the wrong context. But, you know, the other thing is he said I was on her show. One of the last shows, the last week maybe, it was 3.5 months before she went off air. But that's a side note. That is what it is.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that Donald Trump has either exaggerated or made up a fact? Is that what you're telling me?
I guess that's the thing. You just pass over them. Now, well, right? That's what we
should
do?
Should that be the hallmark of the American presidency? I want to start thinking about legacy here because he's already thinking about his legacy. He's already chipping himself into Mount Rushmore, according to that speech.
I suppose he would say that the effect is the same.
He said even if he doesn't do anything for the rest of his term, he still had one of the greatest presidencies of all times based on everything he's done in the first
year. Keep America great again. Or keep America great.
Yeah, keep America great.
It's going to be the new slogan.
Jeff Earle is with us from Mail Online. There are moments in this, pretty much every day of this, I stop and I think to myself, did I really just say that? Did I really just hear that? Did I really just read that? Am I alone in that?
You are not alone.
Okay.
It's an extraordinary presidency.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging it. All right. Now this is interesting because we're hearing a lot of chatter over the last Sunday and today. That when he goes out and he does these things, it drives his own adult staff. And I don't know, there's obviously staff that you know, jumps up and down giddy about this. But the people who have to actually get things done in the White House and on Capitol Hill get nuts about this because he tends to distract. It turns things around. It makes it harder to come back because, again, when he gets up and I think 75 minutes he was speaking for. You know, in that 75 minutes, there's at least 20 good whoppers in there that people can turn around and go, well, that didn't happen, or that's not right, or whatever it is. And it just it makes people nuts. Are you hearing that?
It does. I mean, even all through the campaign, it would drive people a little nuts. But I think they also, you know, his people also have learned. They've developed, an attitude of just letting it kind of roll off. And they're like, well, there he goes. He's off the script. And we're just going to, like, fasten the seatbelts and roll with it. So I think that's part of the job. If you've signed up for it, you know that you might be planning for a new gun policy rollout. You might be talking about whatever, you know, comes off. That's the deal.
I suppose it's campaign Trump versus, I don't know if we've seen policy Trump so much, but this is when he's on the campaign trails when he tends to throw out the biggest barbs. You know, he'll just attack just anybody who might be against him or get in his way, such as Oprah Winfrey. I mean, what is that about? He's trying to say, don't run, threatening her.
Well, she said she's not going to run. She was in an interview that she taped last week that aired last night, she said clearly she's not going to run for president. Elizabeth Warren says she's not going to run for president. But it doesn't stop him from going out and beating up on her, on any of these people because he gets applause lines. It's basically, it's a version of insult stand-up comedy that he does when he's out there. It's just him unplugged, and he stays a little bit on script. When it came to the stuff about the guy he was ostensibly there for,
mm-hmm.
3 minutes he talked about that guy, the guy who's running for Congress in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh area, who may lose here as a result of being a Republican at this moment, because it's a deeply Republican district. As is drawn at the moment, there's some other issues with this thing. Eventually, that in next year when they actually run in November, I should say for the seat.
Mm-hmm.
This is just to replace an existing seat. But when they run, both those guys can run in separate districts next in November.
Or it will be for a single right. Well, you know, it is possible to predict in advance when he will go full Trump, and it has something to do with if it's a Friday or Saturday night, if it's a nighttime rally, if there's more than 10,000 people, and if it's in, you know, Trump country, that's when he's more likely to really start popping off and having fun and then sometimes going off the rails a little bit.
He actually asked them, don't you love me? He actually asked that during the rally. I love you. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, where's, you know, there's like a whole, I just sort of imagined the 8-year-old, you know, begging his father to love him like that. It was just weird, man. It's like, don't bring that Freudian crap up in here right now. You're president of the United States. Although he did implore, we have the Kim Jong-un booing part, right? Let me just play this part because this kind of gets me every single time.
South Korea went there. We put very, very strong sanctions and lots of other things we've been doing right from the first day I was in office. And South Korea came to my office after having gone to North Korea and seeing Kim Jong-un. And no, it's very positive. No. After the meeting, you may do that, but now we have to be very nice because let's see what happens.
Okay. The guy's screaming out, hey, little rocket man. No. We're having
keep
a meeting.
Civil.
Keep it civil.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it civil.
That was last week.
Well, no, that
was right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Next week, we'll go back to it. But right now, I'm trying to dial this thing in. I mean, it's great political theater. It's a scary time to be an American in this sense that I don't really know how this ends well for all of us. I'm talking about all of us, for the president, for the president's family, for the United States of America, for our stature in the world, for our dollar, for all that. Because I mean, this could be kind of cataclysmic in the end. There's a lot of ways where that could happen. And he's also creating a lot of internal, you know, just it's now people just feel really, really unencumbered to say and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, it's true. Jeff, I want to ask you about he seemed to unveil his new campaign slogan for 2020, Keep America Great. And I wonder what you think about that. It seems like it might be effective to the extent that Democrats running against him would have to defend against a strong economy and a strong job situation. And we know how important that is to people when they vote. Do you think it's a powerful message? Is it effective?
I think it's not bad. I mean, I think you can't run on making it great again if it's recognizing that he will have been in office for 3 and then 4 years, and you got to have a forward-looking slogan. So, but I think you're right. I think he needs to hug the economy, hope things keep going in the right direction, and try to make a case that people's lives are better off and better because there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that everybody's talking about on the outside and the periphery, and some of it's going to be personal and some of it's just going to be chaotic. So he needs people to say, forget about that. How are you doing? And if they're doing better, that's his best chance.
I know we're going to let you go here in a second because your phone is a little wonky today, but let me ask you this question. Do you think Stormy Daniels is a factor here in any way to his presidency?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. It's like a low-grade situation where more and more information comes out. It's definitely consuming some time, and it's going to consume some. Yes, it will keep going. The legal process is churning, and there's going to be he's going to have to at some point account for to what extent he was involved in this situation, financially and otherwise. Plus, Mueller's going to look at it. So, yeah.
Oh,
hey, Jeff,
so
thank you very much.
Too.
Well, Mueller. Well, here's the thing, and I appreciate it, Jeff as always. Mail online if you want to check out Jeff's work. Of course, he's the deputy U.S. political editor there. I kind of disagree with this. I mean, other than it's an embarrassment to him, and they can keep it front and center, and that makes it harder for him. It actually makes it really hard on Melania. And the question is, does Melania make it hard on him?
Well, the New York Times did an article, though, about how she likely knew about this affair and others from back then, so that this is not necessarily new to her. It's not like it's exposing it for the first time. Maybe bringing up old wounds, of course, because this is not fun for her to have to hear this and see this and know that she had just had their baby at the time when he's parading around with porn stars. I mean, think about that. But I don't know that to her it's the same as hearing it for the first time.
Right, but I don't know that we can only surmise and guess. She married him as
a playboy.
Already twice married guy with a playboy reputation. I don't know that she was, all in on Donald Trump family man. He clearly wasn't presenting himself like that. But the question is, anything she does at this point is now second guessed. If she leaves the White House without him, she goes on a trip, or she goes back to New York for a day, or she does any of those things, she's a bit of a hostage here.
Mm-hmm.
And the question now is, how much of that can she sustain, and how much of her action to him can he sustain? And that's, I think, is part of the the method of the people who, you know, obviously want to keep this alive to try to you know, impact his presidency. I think that's the game that they're playing, and I don't know that I at the end of the day, I don't think that it really matters that much to the body politic whether or not he was sleeping around porn stars, and I think it also doesn't really matter to his base. I mean, listen, you know, 11,000 people showed up at that thing on Saturday night in Pittsburgh, and there were kids. I mean, if you looked at, you know, they stack the back of the stage. You've been doing this since Reagan, where you put a bunch of people who represent America, represent who you're trying to talk to in back of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kids, it was a bunch of like high schoolers back there.
Yeah,
you know, and so their parents didn't seem to have a problem with it. And I just my guess is that it doesn't really add up to much, as long as, you know, this issue about campaign, the use of campaign funds. It is what felled John Edwards, the use of campaign funds to try to cover up an affair. That is what got him. I don't know that this will rise to it, because if everybody sticks with their story, that
Michael Cohen
is his attorney. Piercing the privilege there would be more difficult than I don't know that we actually see this add up to the end of Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form. Be greatly ironic if it did, but I don't see it happening. And I think that America wants to know about policy, and they want to know if we got, you know, duped by the Russians. Another moment today, and if we did get duped by the Russians, what are we doing about it?
Right.
Even if the Trump people had. They didn't have nothing to do with it, because you already have an email in which Donald Trump Jr. before the election is, you know, trying to get a meeting with Russians about Dern and Hillary. So there was already an intent to conspire with them. But the question is, did they ever? That's the attempt to conspire isn't, you can't get anybody on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, did they? What does that all add up to? If none of that happens, the real question is, what are we going to do to keep it from happening again? And today in the White House briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked about this issue of the Russian former FSB guy who
killed in the UK.
Well, they attempted to kill him. He's still not dead yet, right?
And his daughter.
And his daughter. You know, what are we doing about that? Are we with the British on that? Are we, you know, going to look the other way, essentially? And she's like, no, we stand by our allies, but wouldn't go any further than that.
Yeah.
And by the way, Putin, she did say something else I think is very interesting. She did say today, we you know, continue to say that we do not collude with the Russian government. Well, what Putin is telling us in all these interviews is it's not the Russian government. It's, you know, maybe these are private people in Russia, or maybe it's the Jews, as he told Megyn Kelly,
or the Ukrainians, or somebody, right. Somebody else, not him
that?
Though.
Yeah, not him.
Definitely not him.
But it's somebody else. So there's a dodge. It wasn't the Russian government. It was these other guys.
But don't you think if anybody in Russia who would be involved with this at a high level would have some connection to Putin? That he would know about it, that he would be behind it. Right. So it just negates the whole thing.
But when the White House is using that language, not the Russian government.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the same language as Putin is using. That does not make me feel better as an American, as a USA of air. I don't feel good about that.
Yeah. I think Sarah Sanders was saying, let's wait till they fully connect the dots and prove that it's Russia. Meantime,
that should be any minute now.
Prime Minister May is saying highly likely Russia was behind this attack. There's already evidence pointing in that direction. And we all knew that.
Okay. Right now, Judy Pollack tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour from the WGN newsroom. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis here on 720 WGN. Here is Tom Skilling, brought to you by Permasil Basement Systems.
Well, how are you guys doing? Happy Monday.
You too. Happy Monday.
I think this is the first time in my career I've ever been sponsored like that.
I don't think that's true.
That's pretty. No, it's very amazing. And the Permaseal folks, I can't think of a sponsor I'd rather have,
right.
You know?
That's true.
Good people. Very good people.
They are.
Oh, yeah. It's family owned and operated. I mean, the Permaseal folks, I mean, they're for real.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what a service they provide. I talked to anybody who's had their basement go underwater, and I had parents who did that. And you realize what an invaluable service
Absolutely.
That is.
Yeah.
You know?
And then it stays with the house, even if you sell it.
Oh, yeah.
So how about that?
Absolutely. Hey, guys, you know, the one thing that strikes me as we get together here, a couple things. One, the 60s are dead that I'd hope for
really?
Friday.
For the weekend.
Yeah, but the weekend will warm some. There'll be a breeze off the lake. So I do think by Sunday we might be flirting with 60 and in the 50s during the day Saturday. But over the weekend, the models took a 180-degree turn and turned our winds off the lake on Friday. So that's really disappointing because we'd had days where that looked like pretty solid reasoning. And then this thing that's headed toward New England, I mean, they've got another humongous storm heading. This will be much stronger than the one they had last week, but not as strong as the first one they had. Mm-hmm. And we're talking serious snows in places on the coast on this one, like Boston and Cape Cod and areas like that, Providence, Rhode Island. Boston could see 18, 20 inches of snow with 55 mile per hour wind gusts, a full blown blizzard. And it's 43 and kind of partly sunny right now out there. So those folks are about ready to be really slammed. And
maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop right there, you guys continue on.
You're not
just pause
crazy.
For
I didn't
a second.
Agree with that, or sound like I was. No,
but
you are many things, Ro, but not crazy.
I don't know. I've got a lot of professionals who might disagree with you. But, here's the question: over my life, I don't remember the East Coast having that many nor'easters. I remember the first major nor'easter that I recall was that early 2000s one, whether it was, I don't know, like 2000, 2001, 2002, something like that. I'm sorry, 90s. Mm-hmm. It was early 90s. You know, really, really bad storm. And now it seems as
the
though
frequency
they're
is so
getting
great.
More and more of these intense storms.
Well, you know, they refer to what's going on here as the North American dipole, where you've got the western U.S. unseasonably warm and the eastern U.S. unseasonably cold during the cold seasons. And that's exactly what we've been seeing going on. In fact, I was looking at, they've got flood warnings in Montana because of melting snow, and they've got dense fog advisories. And yet you go east, and they've got a blizzard of the first order heading for the East Coast. So it's, you're right. The frequency of these things has increased. There's a little question about that.
Well, even this one right here, I was just talking to some friends who had relatives in the impacted area. They said they still were without their power from the last one. Now you've got the third one in 11 days. Hitting some of the same areas.
How would you like to be on the crews that are charged with the responsibility of going out there and getting the power back on again? I always am amazed.
Oh, my God. Those guys are the hardest working people in all
sure
show
are.
Business.
I don't care whether
no
it's
question
them
about
and
it.
The deadliest catch area. People are on the same
and,
level.
Yeah, totally.
And one wrong move and zap. You know, it seems like a very dangerous line of work. These guys, and you never hear of anything happening like that.
And they're so essential.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. It's like if you go to the store and there isn't a salmon waiting for you, that's one thing. Crab waiting for you. But if there is, but if your power is out,
that's it.
Right? Or a whole region's power is
what
out.
What do you do?
And these guys are so, you know, I mean, there's like a total dedication.
It's true.
To that line of work.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because they, you know, they go, they pre-position. You know, many of them will, you know,
it's a real science. We had one of the ComEd folks, some of the ComEd folks speaking to Fermilab, one of our Fermilab programs in the last couple of years, talking about how developed that program is and how seriously they take that and how they help their fellow utilities.
Right,
elsewhere.
all over the country.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Didn't some of our ComEd people go down to Puerto Rico? Mm-hmm.
They did.
And the thing is that they had to put the trucks on ships to get them down there.
It's
was
amazing.
The issue.
Wow.
And you know, basically, you know, offload them like LSTs, like you know, like the military would do when they're rebuilding something.
Or sure.
They're going in and they're starting ground operations somewhere, and so that's been a big deal. Then they got to get them back up and back on.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a number of over the years good experiences with ComEd. I just had one a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it is amazing. The people who go out and do the job. We always like to complain about our utilities.
I know.
But
it's amazing, the reliability, all things considered.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, okay, but I'm going to say it anyway.
All right.
One of the guys was explaining to me about how they, when there's an outage, they have X amount of time to get the power back up. Otherwise, they get in trouble with their company. They have the clock starts with them. That from the first call, they have X number of hours, and it's and it's not a long period of time.
So the pressure's on
to get everything done, and it's they run a very, you know, it's a tough business, especially in a city like this that's got the kind of weather, the varying weather that we can have.
You go out in miserable weather and often residual winds behind these storms and all, and have to work in that. And how about when you've got ice over everything? It's like our firefighters.
Right.
I mean, going out and fighting a fire in these barbaric conditions, you really do marvel at the dedication, you know? It's something.
So when is this thing going to hit?
Well, like in Boston, it'll start about 4 in the morning their time.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, and it will go through about 4 the following morning. The storm producing it is going to be another one of these.
So if you're heading east tomorrow, there's going to be trouble, right?
Yeah, figure if you're going to Hartford, Concord, New Hampshire, Worcester, Massachusetts, Cape Cod, Gray, Boston, Providence, Rhode Island, even New York City is going to be, they'll be on the edge.
The air operations are going to be delayed there?
They're going to get about 2 to 4 inches there, but they'll have 40 mile per hour wind gusts. Providence, Rhode Island should see about 14 inches of snow, 52 mile per hour gusts. Boston could see 55 mile per hour gusts. And Cape Cod, they could have gusts near 70 miles an hour out there on in that area. And then you go inland, Worcester, out west of Boston, could see 50 mile an hour gusts and 14 inches of snow.
Ooh.
And some areas could see more than 2 feet of snow. So, it's
so much for meteorological spring.
Yeah.
It's not feeling like it out there.
No. Yeah,
let me ask you something else, Tom. Why did they drop the TH even in the meteorological reports? The nor'easter, they always call it. And what is that? I mean, I would think that the locals would call it that, but it actually is called that in some of the official weather.
No, it really is. Right? That's how we refer to it. It's a nor'easter. And that's a good question.
That's what pirates called it.
I'm sure that's probably what the locals called it. You know, a lot of these things have.
It's a wicked nor'easter, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's your Boston accent, bro.
Wicked. I just say it like that.
That's right. Yeah, if you pack the
hammer,
you're going to get some flooding and some snow. You know, it's funny. I went to this weather conference, and there was a guy from the New York forecast office who had transferred down from Boston, and I've told you this before. This conference was out in Colorado during the Democratic convention, and so in 84, and Gary Hart was running, and so this fellow from New York, the New York office, walked in. He said, "Has Gary Hart been on yet?" We were all in this dormitory, and we had the the common area room with one monitor in it in those days. And I said, "Gary Hart?" I said, "There's nobody by that name running." I said, "Now there's a Gary Hart," and he said, he says, "You Midwesterners," he said, "you were in the Conestoga wagon so long coming out here that you had time to screw up the English language."
Yeah,
and I Gary Hart. That was a great line.
It's hard to understand.
He was such a nice guy. You knew you could kid him about that. And Charles, one of our news writers, I was kidding him about that, and he's nice.
These Bostonians. I was the only person not watching either OJ or American Idol last night. And I watched that Kennedy's thing on CNN.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. The thing I was fearing here is kind of coming to fruition. It's a little bit of an advertisement for all future Kennedys who wish to run for something.
Yeah.
And we happen to have one running in Illinois right now, and there's another one, Joseph the 18th or whatever is going to be running for president.
Democratic response.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So it does seem a little too precious for me, because they talked about Joseph P. Kennedy,
yes.
The father,
the
guy who started this whole thing, John and Bobby's father. And they glossed over a lot of things in the first, I know they wanted to kind of get through it, but they didn't have to do it he was a Hollywood producer, and he was the great bear of Wall Street. He was a very, very savvy stock investor. He was a lot of other things, too.
Every great fortune begins with a crime. Is that what they always
say? Yes, and there were a few, and it was, And he was, and they did at least cover the fact that he was an appeasement guy. He was an appeaser during when he was the ambassador to the court of St.
Yes.
James in England.
Yes.
He was the, you know, he was like, this Hitler guy's not going to be so bad.
Right.
What could possibly go wrong? He's short. He's got a little mustache. What could happen? So he's got, so there's like a, they kind of just kind of gloss over that, and then they immediately move all onto all the tragedy in the, you know, because there's, you know, there were 9 kids.
I know.
And
big
there
family.
Was then 3 of them, 4 of them were, you know, dead before they were 45.
Mm-mm. You know, it was interesting, too, Ro, to find out how close the family was with McCarthy. I gather both John and Bobby were close to the senator, you know, the Senator McCarthy. And, you know, what he did to careers and lives and all with that communist, all the hearings and all he held, that was something. But it surprised me to hear that the Kennedys were close to him. And I've that was in, the fellow who does Hardball. Chris Matthews' book.
Yeah,
he mentioned that in his book as well, and that was surprising to me.
I was just trying to work on my Boston accent by watching the thing. That's all.
I love it. I'll tell you, I love regional accents. I think it makes life so interesting. When I worked in Jacksonville, we used to have a speech coach down there. The TV station I worked for, I worked 1 year down there,
mm-hmm.
and so they were working on what they called my Midwest twang.
Yes, I've had that same lesson plan.
Yeah. And then the Southern reporters, we had a gal by the name of Sharon McClama down there, and, uh-huh. and she had the Southern drawl. And so we'd pass each other in the hall, and she'd say, "How's that Midwest twang going?" And I said, "Fine. And how's your Southern drawl?" Because they characterized all of our regional accents.
I think it's kind of, though, an advantage now. I mean, I think that those days of the perfect nasal
right.
anchor, the nondescript.
Like Tom Brokaw kind of had didn't he?
Tom Brokaw. You couldn't understand a word Tom Brokaw
but
was trying to say.
He had that learned TV accent because he had to. He had that impediment.
Yeah. Wasn't it called the Iowa accent or something like that?
Something like that. Yes. Where they just wanted it to be not totally. Although we've been to Iowa, and people don't talk like that there.
No,
but the thing is, it's like a vanilla English,
right?
English, American accent in English, and
yes.
it's
nondescript.
I don't know. I kind of like trying to figure out where
Me
people
too.
Are from based on their
agree
sound.
With you, Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's some accents that just are completely, it just. You know, there are some accents you just listen
Completely
to and
you
go,
what?
That's not so smart. That yeah. No matter how brilliant they are, they may have just split the atom an hour before.
And yet, yeah, but I know. And yet
but if they sound like the
accent.
Guy trying to sell you the right. cat litter made
coconut.
Out of the coconut,
right,
then you're like, I don't care how smart the guy is. It just doesn't work for me. You know, and I'm sure he's a great guy. And I'm sure he's brilliant.
And
look at these guys. I mean,
he's very smart.
He's the guy who figured out the coconut. And it could be cat litter.
I know.
Right? It weighs nothing.
Hey, hats off to
him. It's ingenious.
Yeah.
But somehow when I hear him talk, I go, oh, no.
No, he didn't come up with that.
I know. I always figured the advent of CNN coming out of Atlanta was one of the big changes.
That's true, because I heard a lot of anchors talking like they is.
Yes.
And, like Southern Bells.
Right. You had, Southern-based mm-hmm. Southern-based broadcast organization, and therefore it, you know, it introduced us to accents that we hadn't heard as a regular feature
true.
On network television and or national television.
That's right.
And I think that's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good that we hear different accents. But at any rate,
I do too. What's your favorite accent, Tom? You got a favorite?
Well, I love the English accent, you know.
Well, that doesn't count. That's not from here.
It's not from here.
No, I mean, we want an American accent. You know what my favorite American accent is? By far the Wisconsin accent.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know.
That's another one. If the guy just split the atom, I'm not listening to him. I don't care what he just did.
No, I know. It's very endearing. And there's a Minnesota accent.
Right.
Oh,
that's different than the Wisconsin accent.
It is.
Totally different.
It is.
It's night and day, actually, those two accents.
I
exactly.
love those, too.
Yeah.
Like we used to have a guy from University of SUNY Albany, who was a Lightning researcher, would come. And he was from Rhodesia. He was raised in Rhodesia, had this beautiful English accent. And I used to say to him, his name was Anton Simon, and I used to say, Anton, you know, you could get up there and open up a phone book and start reading it in that beautiful English accent, and we'd all be sitting there going, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know, that's a nice accent, but but it makes us all feel bad as Americans. That we're not as pretty, you know, or the South African accent, which is a beautiful accent
it
too.
Is.
It's kind of I don't know. I want to hear the Wisconsin, like that Making a Murderer.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was the only reason to me I stayed with that thing for 12 hours. Was I can't believe these people's accents, and they're 100 miles from here,
it's
and they're
true.
Talking like that.
I mean, it's like out in the boat. Today.
Yeah, and it's like a totally different country, and you're like, what? What? Yeah. What?
But it's great.
Those are the people that do need to get the accent training. I mean, you know, from here, I could say accent training. It's okay. It's endearing. It's almost a little intimidating to people, but not there.
Over by the Jewels.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I want Channel 9, since it's, you know, Chicago's very own, I want it to go with all Chicago accents on the desk.
They should do accent training in reverse. No, it's too neutral. You
so there was
get more
a
Chicago.
Shooting over by, and you just say that over by the Kennedy last night.
Right.
You know, and you did it like that. I think would get ratings, get numbers.
Well, you know, Len O'Connor always used to talk about when they fed something from when he was at NBC, he said we'd feed things to the Today Show, and he'd bring some of our Chicago aldermen on or something like that, and they... He said he'd stop them and say, you're saying dem and does, you know, and that you shouldn't do that. They already think we're a bunch of Al Capone, you know.
Right.
Morons. Yeah.
Morons, exactly. Yeah. And I thought only Len O'Connor, he'd say, stop the tape. And then he would read everybody the riot act there. And he talked about that, having done that. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Only Len could get away with that.
Yeah, there's only a few places in the country where they pronounce a TH anyway. And apparently not in the Northeast either. Back to what Anna just pointed out.
Nor'easter.
All right, Tom, we will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
See you later, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
Tom.
Right now, Judy, what's coming up in a few minutes in the WGN newsroom? We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN news. Hold on 1 second. Coming up in 2 minutes. But first, I got to tell you about time to celebrate all things Irish at the annual Irish American Heritage Center St. Patrick's Festival this Saturday, March 17th. The Heritage Center is always the place to be on St. Paddy's Day. The biggest party in town. Great food, drink, Irish music, dance. You can't miss it. Activities for the entire family. Children's area, arts and crafts, and more. Much, much more. Tickets just $12 now, $15 at the door. Kids 12 and under, free tickets and information at irish-american.org, irish-american.org. Judy's News yes?
One more thing.
Oh, yes, I'm
early
sorry.
Morning, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast. Sarah Gingras traffic reports weekdays 4 to 6, WGN-TV Morning News.
I'm totally prepared here for broadcast, don't
we
you worry
it.
About it.
No big deal.
Coming up on the other side. I don't know why... All my paperwork seems to have... it's all messed up on my desk. I don't know what to do. Coming up on the program, we have... I want to play a little tape for you and get your thoughts on it.
Okay. All tape right. Regarding what?
You'll see.
Do we get to know anymore?
No.
No?
Nope. It's a total, complete secret.
Wait a second. It's not enough.
But first, Judy's News coming right to... Rick Pearson is joining us on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. You know and you love Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. And I don't know. Coming up on the program, I should mention, Rick, Jeannie Ives is going to be joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. And she's running for governor.
Yes,
and as
she
it
is.
Turns out, you know, she is, I think, remarkably closer to Bruce Rauner in attention and even in the polls, I think, than the Rauner people are comfortable with.
Well, when you saw the shift of advertising by Governor Rauner from going after J.B. Pritzker, which has been going on since last May, when you saw that kind of abrupt shift to go after Jeannie Ives, that was an indicator right there that this was not going to be coasting to the nomination that they deserved. They needed to whack her down in the polls. And there's, I guess, anecdotal evidence that that may have taken place. But, I mean, one thing, and I wrote about it over the weekend, about the downstate factor. And when you look at 50% of the Republican primary vote, basically it's split between the Chicago area and downstate. And you look at some of those counties downstate, now granted, the population isn't as large, but those were counties that are 75, 85, 90% for President Trump. Mm-hmm. And she is actively cultivating the Donald Trump supporters.
Yeah. Well, she's working it, right?
I mean,
right.
Oh, yeah.
She's taking that initial ad, how she introduced herself to most of Illinois that didn't know who she was.
Well, that was the second ad, actually. The first ad was an introductory ad. Then there was the ad that had the various stereotypes.
Yeah, right. The ad out. Ad that the got all the only, attention.
Right, the ad that people paid attention to because they're like, right. What was that?
Well, who was behind that
and
one?
And then you know the ad that came after that, how it started out?
Hmm.
This was Jeannie Ives saying, well, now that I've got your attention.
Right.
She's proud of it. She went to the city club and said, yes. You know, yes, I stand behind it. That's what we wanted to do.
And that's how she thought she, that's how what she knew transgenders dress like.
Well, I read your also the coverage of the downstate vote and how important it is. And even on the Democratic side, where there are fewer Democrats as a percentage of the overall vote, still can't be counted out, as we saw in the Blagojevich and Vallis situation.
Yeah.
Where he paid attention to it and Vallis didn't. And look what happened.
Well, Vallis was afraid of flying at that time in his life. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, on scheduled trips downstate that would be crossed off the schedule by the candidate, and he never really told them why until later. But downstate is 23% of the vote, which does not sound like a heck of a lot. And downstate truly is evolving more Republican from the old union coal mining jobs and right. construction jobs. Nevertheless, 23%, you're talking about a six-candidate field or a top-three field. And if everybody's kind of close in the Chicago region, the rest of those 96 counties can make a big difference.
It's still a bit of a putt for Jeannie Ives, though. I mean, she's still got a ways to go here. I think there was a 20-point differential with 20 points out, 20% still undecided. I mean, she basically has to convert. He's got to have a bad couple of weeks here, and we're going to talk about why he might in just a second, but she's going to basically have to convert about 80% of that to be able to have a shot here.
Yeah, and there were expectations by her campaign, and it was repeatedly brought up in her fundraising emails, they were expecting $10 million to mount this effort. And basically, they got $2.5 million from Dick Uihlein, a mega conservative donor from Lake Forest, who formerly was a Rauner supporter.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking to see if he was going to chip in some more. That hasn't happened yet.
Well,
quite frankly,
she wrote a book. Did you get the book in the mail?
I didn't get the booklet.
Yeah, there's like a little, she's got a little paperback book. It reminded me of like a Pulp Fiction kind of little book.
A little pamphlet.
It's more of a pamphlet, though. It's like a 40-page book. Like it comes in an envelope. It comes in like this. It kind of is a little imposing because it's this thick, square manila envelope. It comes mm-hmm. in, you're like, oh, I wonder what this is. And you open it up, and it's this little book mm-hmm. about, you know, Bruce Rauner's lies or whatever it's called. And it's thick. It's like somebody had to sit down and write this thing, right? And I was going through it, and I thought, well, this is, I mean, somebody actually did write, it's like a narrative.
Chris Cleveland, who head of the Chicago GOP and her campaign, not manager, but chairman or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, that seemed like a lot of work. A little manifesto-ish, but it seemed like a lot of work. And I thought, wow, this is kind of an interesting thing. But that appeals, I think, to the people who are already with her, right?
I think you'd be hard-pressed to have somebody that wasn't familiar to just sit down and start reading.
Right, and decide they're going to go with her because of this book.
Especially when your mailbox is already flooded with the mailers.
Mm-hmm. Just a picture.
Well, yeah, and there's some interesting pictures in those. But something, you know, something you can take a look at, glance at, and then you toss it kind of thing. Where the book, I'm hard-pressed to think how many people and how much it cost, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's expensive. It's an expensive proposition. Like, yeah, I thought it was a bit of a misstep. But all right, so what do you think what's her best shot here? Is it the fact that Rauner now has to sort of, because Democrats have passed this this gun control measure,
mm-hmm.
right? A licensing measure for gun shops and gun dealers. Mm-hmm. that the governor has to sign that, that would very much play into Jeannie Ives' hands. And he's trying to stall that till after the election.
Correct.
And he's not doing interviews right now as a result.
Well, he had a press conference today after a bill signing where he talked about it. But again, he keeps repeating my position is clear, mm-hmm. and it's not clear.
Will you sign it or won't you sign it?
Well, he talks about how he wants a comprehensive approach. He's said that, you know, we need more conversation about it. He's actually been the line about having conversation about mm-hmm. Gun restrictions goes back to after the Las Vegas shooting.
Yeah,
he's basically saying the same thing he said then.
Well, that's okay. Just running down the clock. Nobody wants to tick off the as much as Donald Trump said last week. Oh, you guys are all afraid of the NRA, and then Donald Trump comes out today, and then their proposal doesn't address anything. They're still going to have a conversation about bump stocks and other I guess bump stocks is probably going to get done, would be my guess, but they're still going to have a conversation about maybe moving the age to 21, mm-hmm. but
that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Not on the federal level.
Right. So we'll leave it up to this. It's always we'll leave it up to the states. Well, here we are. We're the states. We're here.
How are we doing?
Yeah. So what do we do now?
So
that's a big win for her if he has to actually lock in on that.
But
right?
But I wouldn't expect that to happen. I mean, that's one of the things that he's going to stay away from.
What's her weakest thing? Other than the fact she had a lady wearing the pea hat in a commercial.
Well, I guess moderate suburban Republican women, socially moderate suburban Republican women, are a very influential factor, not just in a Republican primary, but also in a general election. And I'm curious to see how well she will do in those suburban areas. And there are a lot of votes. They're not as Republican as they used to be. But in fact, the collar counties, all but McHenry County, they all went for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, which says something about the changing politics and the evolving of the collar counties. But nevertheless, moderate suburban Republican women, she's, you know, obviously very opposed to abortion rights, very opposed to immigration rights, very opposed to gay rights. And her stridency on that will be an interesting factor to see how it plays with suburban women.
Yeah. We saw some interesting celebrity endorsements over the weekend on the Democratic side.
I didn't even know who they were, okay?
Jesse Eisenberg? Actor Jesse Eisenberg, sure, who played Mark Zuckerberg in the movie.
I'm sorry.
He has a connection to Daniel Biss, who knew that, but he said it was his first political rally, but I'm here to support him, really believes in him, and stood up for him. And then you had the Dan Aykroyd making that
ad for Chris Kennedy.
You're familiar with Dan Aykroyd, are you?
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, there we go.
You know that one.
We got right in Workville House right there.
Is he still Canadian?
Yeah, he is still Canadian. See, that's the funny thing about that. I was just saying that to Anna during the break. I'm like, I like when the foreigners get involved, just like Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that an illegal foreign contribution to a campaign?
I think he's a dual citizen now, though, but I think it works out.
I think we can accept him.
But I don't know, the things that really add up to anything. Daniel Biss is an interesting play. Does Daniel Biss play spoiler here, or does he have a shot?
I think everybody has a shot.
I think everybody in that race probably does.
Of those top three.
Why was Kennedy out and now back in? What do you think? What did he do to turn his fortunes around? Because the polling was indicating that he was sliding away.
Well, and truly, I think the polling is very fungible right now. I think there's still a large amount of undecided out there. I do think that part of it is people starting to focus and make up their mind, and here's the name recognition and the legacy of the Kennedy family. I certainly think when it comes to like polling samples of African-American voters, that's a very hard sample to poll, and often results in undercounting. And I think his strength in the African-American community is very strong.
Turnout's an important issue.
Well, and among older voters, older African-American voters, and that's a dependable kind of demographic. You know they're going to go vote. And so you kind want that.
Older across the board.
But but older African-Americans who are familiar with the family's involvement in the civil rights issue.
May have had a picture of his uncle up in the, and maybe his father.
Yes.
Right, up in the house.
This is the 50th anniversary of his father's assassination too. So I mean, you've got that. Biss, I mean, what we don't know is how in kind of appealing to the Sanders progressives and that progressive wing of a divided Democratic Party, which tends to be a younger wing for the most part, youth vote is always up in the air. And is now the kind of enthusiasm that you see in these groups like Indivisible and others. We see it demonstrated in protests and those kinds of things, but does it demonstrate itself at the ballot box?
I noticed that he was selling himself as the middle-class candidate and not right. just the progressive one, potentially trying to get some, you know, the millennials are already on his side, you would presume, with the progressive part
right.
of that
right.
whole messaging. But now it's sort of like, look, the other guys aren't middle-class guys. I am. I understand how to spend money and how to work on a budget and that kind of thing. I don't know. Does he get some last-minute momentum?
He could. I mean, the one problem that he has significant about being the middle-class candidate is the fact that he did sponsor legislation that would have affected the pensions of public employees, mm-hmm. and organized labor is that's a no-no. And that's a big deficit for him is support among organized labor.
Plus, he also
labor.
Looks like he's getting yelled at by his wife in the commercial.
You do not like that commercial.
I don't. It's kind of weird. He sort of hunches over and his shoulders kind of come together while his wife is showing him
a
bill.
He's a math professor. I mean, he's just kind of that guy. Camera pretty.
It's like, and did you get this at this? Did you get applesauce at the store? Did you get it? It's on the list. Why every week do you forget applesauce? That's the way it looked to me. I don't know. These campaign commercials are just a little wacky. JB needs to get out of the schools a little bit more. It's like all day long he's in a school. He's sitting there in a little chair. He's got a little tiny chair. A little kindergarten chair sitting next to it.
Across it's hard to sit on those, too.
Right, no matter what.
As he admits, he's not a small guy either to be sitting on one of those.
He's like looking across at it.
He's looking at the lunch.
You know what is?
He offers breakfast or something.
It's interesting about this, though, that he has perfected. Over the years, I've known him, gotten mm-hmm. Been at events and stuff with him.
Sure, he's been very involved,
and he has been. I mean, he mm-hmm. did say that he was in here last week, and he did say that he's not somebody who hasn't been in the public sphere here. He hasn't been out doing things, on the philanthropic side. He's very philanthropic, and he's been involved in government, obviously. Yeah. On the outside looking in. And but his ability to actually sort of take on the persona of a politician, he's much better at than I think maybe the other two guys.
Well, I mean, I remember 20 years ago when he made his first bid for office, and that was the North Shore congressional seat, and finished third in that race. But I wondered to myself when he was talking about getting in the race about, with working at 1871 mm-hmm. and the incubator and also doing investment stuff where you have to kind of make presentations. And so it kind of elevates
sphere. He's much better.
And he's changed.
And I think he also has the touch a little more than you would think of someone who runs in those circles. And he talks to regular people all the time. Yeah, and he asks them about their feelings.
He doesn't present himself as an arrogant billionaire.
That's right.
No. No, we have those. Listen,
we've seen those. We know those.
Right on Mount Rushmore is going to be the 21st century's greatest example of an arrogant billionaire. But there is this is going to be an very interesting time here.
Well, right? And I do think we're at that period now where people are now just kind of settling in. The airwaves are flooded.
Yeah.
Is it clutter? Does any of it cut through?
It's always the same. Every cycle like this, and the stuff that will the more interesting commercials will cut through. It's going to be ugly till about Thursday or Friday. Then everybody's going to do the "Aren't I a nice guy" spot, and then we'll get through.
I think that's actually
become
kind of an outmoded theorem of turning to the nice guy at the last minute.
You stay ugly.
You stay ugly because if you think you're
well, the PACs do that for you now.
Yeah, but there aren't a lot of PACs that are really involved in the gubernatorial election.
We shall see. We shall see what it looks like. Well, it's a very exciting Tuesday night coming up a week from tomorrow. Thank you very much, Rick Pearson.
Thank you, guys.
Right now, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom? Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Oh my gosh. Right now the House Intel Committee is announcing that they are ending their investigation into collusion.
Oh.
Say they have no evidence that Russians meddled in the election to help Trump.
Interesting. It's a turnabout for some of them who were waving the flag early on.
Well, it's the House. The Republicans are leading, and they're the ones. The Democrats are now mounting their response to it, which is like, what are you kidding me? Look at this!
We still have plenty of evidence, but we can't show it to you yet.
But we'll see. You know what? I never thought that the House committee was ever going to end up with anything other than just a partisan sideshow, which it turned out to be. Clown car pulled up. Devin Nunes came running out of the clown car, ran right into the White House, ran back into the clown car, back over to the House of Representatives.
And Schiff jumped on board, too, pretty quickly.
And, well, Schiff has been, Schiff has been fighting going the whole way against this, but Schiff never seemed to be all that interested in being as pugilistic as Nunes was being.
But he was the one who said early on that if the Republicans release their memo, this will just, standards and practices of our intelligence officials will be put in peril. And there was a lot of sort of pants on fire rhetoric coming from him, which proved not to be true when that was ultimately released.
But they said they're playing this game about it. Right. And then the Republicans said the same thing before they released.
Absolutely.
They released in the middle of the night, on a Friday night into Saturday morning, they released their memo. Mm-hmm. They released the Democratic memo. The Republicans released the Democratic memo because they were in charge of releasing it. It's one of those things that happens in Washington, and that's what happened. Both of those ended up being a whole lot of nothing.
Right.
And the real thing here is Mueller.
Yes. So we'll wait to see what he says. I'm at Sources and Methods, by the way. What else
before? All right, here we go. Let's check in now. Let's do this because it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and therefore, if it's 5 o'clock somewhere, it's 5 o'clock here, and that means what? Don't tell me. Here it is.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, I'll do that. Checking in at
number five.
All right. Tapes finally surfaced. Took only 12 years for this, but television audiences were able to see and hear O.J. Simpson's shocking hypothetical confession of the 1994 murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Last night, Fox aired a 2-hour O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confessions video. Now, he sat down in 06 with Judith Regan, who was then a major, major, major publisher of editor at HarperCollins, who was, greenlighting all of these books of people, of famous people. She most very famously was the force behind Private Parts, which made Howard Stern a household name, right? And she did presidential books and other kinds of important stuff. So she was able to get O.J. Simpson to agree to do a book called What If I Did It?
Which, how do you come about getting him to agree to that? How does he accept?
He needed the money. That's why he accepted. He needed the money. He was looking for dough. I mean, he was basically unemployable. He'd lost all of his endorsements and all the other things he was doing.
He still has his NFL pension.
Yes. Yes, he had that. But
most people could live on.
Yeah, but he was living in Brentwood. He had the big house. He had the whole thing. He had to sell the house now. He was moving to Florida. He had all kinds of things going on.
Okay.
And so any dollar he had outside of the, he had to give up to the Goldmans, as you'll recall.
Yep.
Right?
Civil suit.
So he had to keep making payments, and he was looking for things to do. So he sat down and he did this. And, it was creepy, man.
It was.
There's just no two Good ways word. Around it.
You get into a fight. Nicole comes out.
A verbal fight. Got a little loud, and by that time, Nicole had come out. And we started having words about who is this guy, why is he here, what's going on.
And she says, this is my house, get the F out of here.
Yes, and which I didn't like because, once again, this is the same person. And if you read the book, you'll see some things that happened in the 2 weeks leading up to this that were very, very irritating.
Ooh.
Okay.
Do you think it's possible OJ did it?
Those are all hypotheticals, right?
Right, it's all hypothetical.
Yeah, good point. There were things that were irritating.
He was irritated because she was out dating other guys.
Gosh.
And partying and not being responsible and partying.
Think about what he's
now. What's really
quasi admitting to here.
Now, you're going to hear in this cut, he's going to refer to a guy named Charlie. It's unclear who Charlie is. He claims there was a guy named Charlie. We don't know anybody named Charlie.
No one in the whole in case whole so thing. Far has been named Charlie.
And that a guy named Charlie, he calls Charlie, who was with him the night of the murder, and Charlie took the knife with him for protection when they were going to go up and knock on Nicole's door and find out just what the heck's going on in there.
Okay.
And I think Charlie had followed this guy in, wanted to make sure it was no problem, and he brought the knife. As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself, and this guy kind of got into a karate thing, and I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed the knife. I do remember that portion, taking the knife from Charlie, and to be honest, after that, I don't remember, except I'm standing there, and there's all kind of stuff around and
what kind of stuff?
Blood and stuff around. I hate to say this, but this is not about alcohol.
What is laughable about any of that?
Well, what's all kind of stuff, like her head
with the knife and the what?
Right.
How sad.
All right, there's one more.
You write about removing a glove before taking the knife from Charlie?
I had no conscious memory of doing that, but obviously I must have because they found the glove there.
And blacking out? Have you ever blacked out before?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
No, of course. Of course, if something like this would take place in anybody's life, if it were to happen, I would imagine it's something that you would probably automatically have trouble wrapping your mind around it. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Okay. So does that sound like a guy who's making this story up? If I'd done it, this is the way I would have done it?
No, it's much more graphic detail about being there with a guy named Charlie, who we don't know who that is, and a knife.
Right. And the question, I mean, A.C. Cowling's people thought about him, but A.C. Cowling had an airtight alibi for that night. Jason, his son, his oldest son,
mm-hmm.
is the one that a lot of people speculated might have been involved in this in one way, shape, or form. Now, he also has an alibi for the night and was never charged.
Mm-hmm.
But that explained similar DNA. There's all kinds of it's a weird way to explain your innocence by explaining your guilt in an emotional way and basically confessing to it. What I find really odd about this is why 12 years later Fox chose to run this. Fox bought this and then shelved it.
That's the question. Why sit on something like this when there have been so many other moments? You think this would be relevant to bring it up?
Well, they sat, and I don't know where this falls into it now that he's out of jail, or out of prison, I should say. Does it make sense now? I don't think that he's going to stay out of prison for long. My sense is that OJ will find his way into something else before this is said and done.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy who goes quietly into that good night.
Yeah.
All right.
He was paid $800,000 for the book, If I Did It.
Yeah, which the money then went to the Goldmans. All right, checking in at
number four.
After another week of White House scandals, the president vented his frustration over the weekend. There was a little bit of swagger. There was a little bit of unscriptedness.
Sure was.
He was outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in Moon Township. 73-minute whirlwind. 73 minutes, 3 minutes why he was there on the guy who's running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a special election tomorrow as a Republican, who he eventually, he had a strange rambling conversation about that guy.
Is it Rick Saccone?
Yes, but about his opponent, and his opponent, everybody says he's a good looking guy. I think I'm better looking than he is. I mean, Rick Saccone's okay looking too, I guess. I mean, it was weird. It was just weird. But then he said, and then he's been telling people Rick's not really a good candidate. The same sort of thing he said about Roy Moore. Why do they keep putting these guys up? They can't win, and they send me out. But
did he say that to the rally?
Of the 73 minutes. He spent 3 minutes on Rick Saccone and 70 minutes on himself.
But your steel is coming back. It's all coming back. And 6 months prior to the election in 2020, every one of those guys, we really endorse Donald Trump. We think he has to win. You know why? Because if I don't win the election, their ratings are going to go so far down, they're going to be out of business, every one of them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine covering Bernie or Pocahontas? Pocahontas. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the television ratings. That he has to win in 2020, otherwise the television ratings are going to go down. Which, by the way, is true. No matter who wins in 2020, in 2021, the numbers, except for the inauguration, which will be everybody tuning in to see if Trump does something goofy with you know whoever's coming in, President Kennedy the 18th or whoever it's going to be.
Right.
We're going to go back to an era in which, if I may just borrow a Michael Che vote joke from Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go back to a moment where people will say, hey, did you hear what the president said today? And you're able to go, no. Right?
I mean, remember those times?
Remember those days? No, and now I didn't. All right, here's one more.
But listen to this. I did The Apprentice on NBC for 14 seasons. I made a lot of money for them. We had a big, successful show. Arnold Schwarzenegger failed when he did The Apprentice, and he's a movie star. Martha Stewart failed when she did The Apprentice, and I just kept chugging along. Every year it was a big hit. I mean, I did The Apprentice, made them a lot of money, gave them good ratings when they were absolutely dying. And they do nothing but kill me. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you.
Gee. But another thing about me, David Axelrod speculates that the reason he's spending so little time on talking about Saccone is that the polls show that he's really may not win, even though Trump carried that particular area by
20 percent.
Points. That
Saccone
district.
Is probably, well, Saccone right now is down by six, was as of Friday down by 6 points. So, yeah, that's why he's against it. All right. So about the NBC thing, here's what he said about NBC, about Chuck Todd from Meet the Press.
Well, Clinton gave away billions and billions of dollars. And as soon as they made the deal, the following day, they started working on making more nukes, okay? So that's not the great deal. You ever see the story where it's 1999, I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
Oh boy, he gets a nickname too. I don't know if you feel good about that or...
Really? The president of the United States. It's one thing. I mean, at least Nixon had the common decency to say that behind closed doors to H.R. Haldeman. At least he was able to do that.
And he got in trouble for it.
Right. Not like at a rally in front of 10,000 people. Oh, that son of a bitch. All right. Wait, here's his thought on Melania.
You know what? We fill up these councils. They all want to be on councils. They call them blue ribbon councils. Where we take Melania, great, great first lady. She's great. She is great.
Isn't she great?
You think her life is so easy, folks? Not so easy.
What happened to the councils? What are you talking about?
Wait, hold on. But I love that. Her life is so easy. You think her life's so easy? No. And do you know who made it really hard? Can I just point that out? Do you go home and do you say, I'm sorry, honey, every day? Of your life, which you should go back. Go, I'm sorry I got you into this. I'm sorry about the porn star. I'm sorry. You know, I know this is tough. Thank you for being so strong and thank you for raising our son. That's all he's got to say. I would like, do you think he does that?
I would guess he does not.
I'm going to guess he doesn't do it either. You think your life is easy? I'll tell you something. I'm making a living hell.
Fell on his son, too, I think.
By the way, he said the Blue Ribbon Commissions are absolutely stupid. It's that they go to lunch and then they write a report. And he said that on Saturday, and this morning he announced a Blue Ribbon Commission to look into gun violence.
There you go.
School violence, right? So there you go. There you have it. There's the
those are different.
Yep. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
Early mornings this winter. Stay safe, stay connected. Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast. Sarah Gendra's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News.
Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
Followers of Scientology rejoice. Today, the Church of Scientology launched Scientology TV.
Oh.
A brand new network set to air on DirecTV. The network will also be available on streaming devices like Roku, Apple TV, and Fire TV.
Ooh.
Promotional video posted to the Twitter page of the organization announces the network in a number of series, including Inside Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard in his own voice.
What we produce is not just a book, it's not just a lecture, it's all the knowledge that's inside.
We're focused on one purpose, which is to preserve the materials of Dianetics and Scientology.
It's actually making a difference in the world. That's what it's all about.
Where's Tom Cruise when you need him?
I don't know. How come he wasn't part of it? Seems like they missed an opportunity there.
Okay. All right. We got that going. That, you know, that would normally be a story like, oh, wow, is that safe? Now we're like,
not
hey,
shocking at all.
Scientology's got their own TV network. Yay, good for it. Yeah. All right, checking in at
number two.
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this.
All right. That's Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number two. All-time superhero film.
Wow. And what is that? It's over $1 billion, isn't it?
Just cracked the billion-dollar mark.
Mm.
It's funny, because you tell people, I've been, since I saw it, I've been telling people to go see it,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, oh, I don't know, it's a superhero movie, am I really going to like it? I go, yeah, you're really going to like it. And then they come back and go, thank you for telling me to go.
I'm in that camp, too, where I normally don't see the superhero movies, but I'll probably go see this one. Only the 33rd movie to crack that billion-dollar mark.
Right.
And look how quickly they did it.
It in 3 weeks.
Crazy.
And I'm sorry, Oprah.
Didn't work out so well for the Wrinkle in Time box office.
Yeah, Wrinkle in Time did not do very, very well. Yeah, in its first week. As of Saturday night, $33 million.
Right, but usually you want that punch in the opening weekend.
Oprah makes $33 million in an hour.
She doesn't care. So whatever.
Right. Selling non-bread-like product. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Saturday Night Live couldn't wait to do a This Is Us parody. Because those promos on NBC for This Is Us,
uh-huh.
there's a lot of crying. There's just a lot. Everybody looks sort of uh-huh. woeful, and then there's somebody crying, and then, oh my God, I can't believe he's dead. And then there's like a light moment.
Very emotional.
There's heavy people having a light moment, then there's a bunch of other people crying. I don't know. I don't get any of it. So what they did is they did this parody called This Is U.S.
Okay.
And all the people from This Is Us, those characters are played by White House officials.
The show critics are calling like This Is Us, but without the parts that feel good.
Baby, I'm scared.
It's okay. You're going to make a great Surgeon General.
No, I run the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
That's hilarious.
It's great.
It's really, really well done. All right.
Check that out.
We will get to your, let's see here. What are we going to, I'm going to do 2 minutes here before Judy Pilot gets to tell you all about the news right after.
The top five at five.
Pro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Got it all worked out now.
Everything's going okay over there.
Jeannie Ives is going to join us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And then that's followed by Tony Arbuscato from the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. That ought to be an interesting green room moment right there.
Do we have a camera rolling on that? Yeah, something? Some audio being picked up? Anything?
Yeah, it's going to be something right there. All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. And well, we live in very interesting times.
Yes, we do.
Picking on Mike Madigan again.
Thank you. Thank you, Violetta. Thank you. I would like to point out, though, it's 5, almost 45.
Oh,
and
yes.
Sun is still way up high in the sky.
Very nice to see.
Yep. I don't have to have my sun lamp in here with me during the day.
That helps.
Although I found that this year, I don't know why, and maybe it's just, you know, getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But the time change kind of, I got jet lagged. I don't know why.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I'm tired.
It was weird.
I generally like losing an hour. That don't mean nothing.
No, because you can sleep in on a Sunday.
Yeah, but you don't change your, you know, clock right away. And then you're like, wow, I'm early. And you're like, no, wait a second. I'm late. I got to go.
It is kind of an interesting. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to change my watch. I forgot to change my watch. Hold on.
I thought your fancy watch would change itself.
No.
No, you pay a lot of money just for...
Right.
So you have
the more expensive the watch, the less likely it is to do anything for itself.
But the watch had its own assistant to come do it for
it. It does.
Yes.
Yeah. It does.
You got to pay for one of those, too. Yeah,
only if you go diving, you can breathe.
That was a bad moment for me. I got it all worked out. See, I just changed it. See, it is right there.
I was surprised at how many things I had to change.
Really?
Clocks. Oh, well, I guess they're all clocks one way or another. Yeah. I mean, you know, the microwave, the oven... Yeah.
I never changed
clock.
The microwave. I have no idea how to do that.
Isn't it funny, though? We've become so... That used to be, you know, twice a year we had to figure it out no matter what. And,
yeah.
And oftentimes it was just like turning a dial. And then you're like, okay, I'm there. Then mm-hmm. once you got to the VCR was the big bugaboo, was the one that screwed up everybody.
Yes.
Nobody, it was too complicated. Nobody knew how to change it.
Well, there's only three buttons. Like,
microwaves are tough. Microwaves have become like a little spaceship. It can do like a million different things. I have no clue how to work the thing. I just hit the button that starts the 2-minute clock mm-hmm. that goes down. I don't even know how to set a 30-second clock on a microwave.
Don't ever press the frozen button, because then it asks you what kind of meats you're going to be cooking
Give
and what the weight of the meat, meats.
What?
And sometimes it's
just defrost my steak.
Metrics.
You figure it out.
I don't know. It's supposed to be a smart microwave.
Yeah, Mr. Smart Microwave. You figure out how long it needs to be nuked.
I can't believe how long it took me to figure out my car clock.
And those are never easy.
I'm like, where is it? And it was just a button. It was easy once I figured it out. But I remember used to taking a pen and doing it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You had to get that little reset button. Yeah,
and then if you held it too long, it took you into the year 2017.
Car exploding.
Right? Oh, where's the backwards? You know,
like,
there's no backwards.
Hold on. I don't know what to do. I got to start over again. It was the year 2091 by the time you were done with it.
leave it.
Yeah. I would just my eye again.
You're like sweating. You're so stressed out over it. Trying to get the needle into the little hole.
God forbid if our phones didn't change over automatically.
Yeah.
I would just throw it away.
I'd have trouble.
I had to restart mine because it didn't change over. And I was like, wait a minute. What time is it?
Well, I don't know if it's ever right. I'm like, when did it change? It was 3:00 in the morning when it changed.
Yeah, you don't see the actual changing, so you're not sure.
I'm like, I don't
Can't
know.
Can't trust it.
Yeah. It's usually 2:00.
Oh.
2 a.m.
There is no 2 o'clock. Like, see, this would be a trick. And I was thinking now this would be the perfect trick to pull on Violetta.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet you somewhere at 2:15 Sunday morning. Be there at 2:15. And then she would never be able to show up.
Smooth.
Because at 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock. Then. And you wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
It's a perfect trick for somebody like you.
Great trick.
When it goes back, it's huge when you're at a bar really late. Because they'll stay open. It goes back.
An extra hour, yeah.
I hated working in the bars when that happened.
One less hour this weekend.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. It does tend to mess up the Monday that follows, and I'm not sure why that is. You would think Sunday would be enough time to recover from it, and it never is.
Sunday is the initial shock. You're like, whoa, this is the day. So you're trying to just like get everything set up, and then Monday it really sinks in.
But you always live in the previous time zone for that first day, because you're eating dinner, and you go, it's really 7 o'clock.
Right.
No, it's 6:00. No, it's really 7:00. No, it's 8:00. No, it's really 7:00. So your body.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not going to go to bed yet, or because it's the wrong time.
Bottom line is enough with the time changing.
Just keep it like this.
Just keep it like this.
This is fine.
Yes, this is nice.
What is the point of the time change?
There is none anymore.
Well, there is. There is one argument that the sun in December into January, the sun wouldn't come up. Until almost 9:00 in the morning.
What?
But haven't they even run numbers about how how much electricity you save because you don't turn your lights on at night as early?
That was the original idea of this. It was daylight saving time. It was originally put in for energy savings. But none of that's really relevant anymore. With LED bulbs, nothing makes sense.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's a lifestyle thing, and we're unique because Chicago is the furthest east in the time zone you can get. So we're the ones that are greatest, that we have the greatest, we pay the greatest early sundown penalty because we're fairly far north and we're very far east. So we pay that penalty for what time the sun goes down.
Can't catch a break.
At the depths of winter. And that's why it's important to us. Around the rest of the country, it's not really that important to them. They're like, yeah, okay, move. And some, you know, then you got these other states like Arizona that are like, you're not going to tell me what to do, federal government.
Yeah, they just
damn you to hell. We're not changing our clocks ever.
We'll stay the same.
So now we're back to 2 hours ahead of Arizona, right?
Right. You, the way you look at that, this is the way you remember Arizona time, is that it's summer beaches, winter mountains.
That helps me remember nothing. Explain that.
Winter ski, right, in mountains. So you're in the mountain time zone in winter. Oh. And then in the summer, you're on the beaches like Pacific Ocean beaches.
Isn't there a Pacific on both sides?
No, there's an ocean on both sides. Oh, that's right. There's not a Pacific on both sides.
Oh, no. There's a Pacific on both sides of a flat map. Okay, I got it.
Turns out changing the clock isn't
Hold
the most
on a
difficult
second.
Thing.
I just want to say something. That maybe my meeting her at 2:15 in the morning idea was not, she would have caught me on that because she just beat us all on that. Yes, on a flat map. That is true. There's a Pacific on both sides.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Okay. Right.
Got to tape those two together. See the whole circle.
The control room, they're like, oh, my God.
They also say the incidence of heart attack is much higher today.
On this day.
On this day.
Yeah. Well, really?
Listening to this program.
Yeah, I think we've just proved it.
Exactly.
Ro might have one.
Did Jeff say?
I think, had one already in the production booth.
Our producer, we better go check on him right now.
Why is it high today? People are stressed about changing the clocks?
Because your body's all out of whack. And yeah, exactly. That hour makes a difference, apparently, to some.
That's stressing me out. I don't want to have a heart attack today.
Oh, well, then just take it easy.
Think about me at 2:15 in the morning looking
right.
for
But where is it? Oh, it's 3:15. He said he was going to meet me here at 2:15. At 3:15.
God, where did the time go? Concrete Cowboy just got away from me.
Exactly. Oh, and I'm like home asleep, and I'm like just laughing that she's looking and she can't find it. I'll meet you for your birthday at 2:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no 2:15. I get it.
Classic
Although, the fall is a weird thing, though, when you fall back.
I love that. That doesn't mess me up.
But it sucks, because then it gets dark early.
But it does. Oh, it's depressing.
It's worse.
You're talking about heart attacks. Like, oh, my God, I'm dying. But when you have 2 o'clock in the morning twice, mm-hmm. it's not bad enough that you have to have it once. I've never had, very rarely, mm-hmm. have I had good things happen while I'm out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
At the moment, you think good things are happening, and then the next morning, you're like, damn it, that was not a good thing happening.
Nothing good happens after midnight. Did your mom ever tell you that?
Which 2:15 do you want me to meet you at? This first one
the second one?
At some point, it doesn't matter. You're right at that time.
What Violetta's friend Boris thinks about daylight saving time.
He'd show up at 2:15, even if there wasn't a 2:15. He'd be there.
He'd be at every 2, right. Everyone.
What does he think about when we actually turn the clocks back? What does he think about Monday? Always in a good mood.
Always in a good mood. Boris is always down always to party.
Yes, you could tell.
He's the guy you want to meet.
That's the guy you want to tell Boris. Boris would be on to it, though. Boris, I'll meet you at 2:15 in the morning at Concrete Cowboy.
Yeah, he'd just say, okay, whatever time.
Right.
I'll be there at 9.
Like he's ever looked at a watch.
The lights turning on is the cue to leave.
Wakes up when he wakes up.
When the owners are shaking their keys like maracas, that's when you know. All right. Let us now, hold on, check in with Judy to find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Well, despite witnesses refusing to talk in a politically polarized investigation, the House Intelligence Committee says it is ending its Russia collusion probe.
They did a great job.
Yes.
They really got to the bottom of nothing.
There may have been some bad, there may have been some mistakes, but no collusion.
Get Boris on.
Boris, yeah. Boris is very excited about it because Boris did not get called to testify.
He did, but he pleaded the fifth, I believe.
All right. Thank you, Violetta. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Gubernatorial candidate Jeannie Ives is going to join us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, followed by Tony Arbuscato from the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which starts, by the way, in just a couple of days. That is
perfect.
It's a great experience, actually. People don't get that. That's a how fun that actually is. I know I didn't understand until I actually attended it.
It seems like something you get dragged to and be like, no. But then when you go, it's like being an indoor spring in Chicago, and you know you find out about the gardening stuff, the smell of flowers. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
And you know me, I'm a big gardener.
I'd like to be.
We have a patio.
I have a patio, and I have a number of plants.
Yeah, those are nice plants.
Yeah.
But you don't take care of them.
No,
was
I
anything
don't.
Damaged in the flood of 2017?
I don't think so.
Or 2018, whatever.
The Great Row Flood.
I don't think into the Great Row Flood of 2017.
The Gold Coast.
Skilling has that in his data in his office. How does this compare to the Great Row Flood of 2017?
It was all underwater. It was all under like 3 inches of water. But they said it was going to be the dirt got out. But people came and swept the dirt back in. I could have done that, but I didn't know how. So I've got the people did that.
Patio life's almost here.
Yeah, patio life is almost here. I was, it's hard to tell what's going to come back and what's not. I'll just have to find out. And then I'll have to hire other people to come and do things there.
You watch people garden for you.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with
that. No.
There is something wrong with
that. Sturdy people.
You don't have that big of a patio. You should be able to do that yourself, Ro.
So I've got sturdy people who hunch over and do things. They poke things into the ground, and they drop a plant in. You go, my God, look at this. It's a plant.
Yeah. I find it very therapeutic. If you just sit there and you concentrate on the gardening, it's kind of fun.
Well, people do say that about it.
It's
good. Although,
unless it doesn't grow.
Yeah, but you see, you know what happens is it's kind of dirty.
Oh, that's why you wear the gloves, the garden gloves.
Yeah, but then how do I get back in the house to clean myself?
The garden gloves have like flowers and stuff. They need garden gloves for men. They're
I bought manly ones. I did buy outdoor gloves.
Fingerless.
I did. And that's why I was at the Ace in Beverly, where the people were fighting over the electrified shamrock.
You were buying garden
gloves?
Because
I was buying outdoor gloves, yeah. For exactly that, but I was doing it for a different project. I do manly projects, I'd say.
I don't picture any of this.
Yeah, no. I'm actually very handy. This is the big shock to everybody in my life. I can fix things.
But you don't.
Well, you break them.
Exactly,
so you
right.
You better fix
them. Thank you. I broke them. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Gubernatorial candidate Jeannie Ives is in the studio with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read your book. I got your book in the mail. And
good.
I thought, wait a second here.
Did you want me to sign it? Did you bring it in?
I should have done that. Why didn't I think of doing that? I walked past it today.
We're doing a book signing tour. So.
Well, I thought this is an interesting thing. For those who've, how many of these did you send out?
About 550,000.
Wow. 550,000 of these books. Okay, yeah. So they come in a little envelope. And you open it up, and it's like one of those old, like, little paperbacks that you would buy, like, at Walgreens. I'm that old, but, you'd go to Walgreens, you'd go to Woolworth, and you'd buy a book.
Is that how the kids do it now?
Yeah, there would be a lunch counter, it's crazy. Anyway, and there's this book, and it's all about, it's basically, what I gather from it is you don't like Bruce Rauner that much. That's my sense.
Was that a key takeaway?
That was my takeaway.
Cliff Notes?
Okay, good.
Yeah, and
good.
I thought, but
yeah, did you have to do Cliff Notes?
Well,
a little pamphlet.
It was interesting because I went through. It's not really a pamphlet. It's like 40 pages long,
uh-huh.
isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's
a lot
it's
to say.
Small type, and it's like pocket size because you can carry it all around with you, read
we
it on the bus.
We were a little worried about the older folk like you with the small type, but we figured you.
Yeah, well, you're the older guys. Yeah, I'm presbyopic. You gotta help me with that. But it is. But I thought, wow, there's a lot of detail in here. Are people talking to you about
it's important.
Book?
Oh yeah, absolutely. People love the book. And it's very old school.
It is very old school, yeah.
But we think Republican primary voters actually care to know the facts and the details, and why not just give them the whole story so they can understand what we've been living through as legislators for the last 3 years, because it's hard to detail all of that on, like, a flyer. You can't do it.
All right, let's talk about some of the things here. Like, if people go to search you on Google, an ad pops up, early on. Like, the first thing that pops up is an ad about you and property taxes, and that you didn't vote to freeze property taxes back in 2013 or something like that, right?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah. So what for people who are going to stop and go, well, are you really as conservative? Mm-hmm. Where do you think we should be on property taxes in the state?
Well, we shouldn't try to freeze them at the highest level. We should actually try to cap them so you can actually own your home again instead of renting from the government. And so we're going for a 1% hard cap. And kind of like Indiana has. And we have to reorient a lot of stuff to make that happen. It's not going to be easy. But if you're not hitting the right target, you're never going to get there. So at least we're hitting the right target. And over time, we can get to that point. And what we do when we do that cap, and we make Illinois more the state, more the primary funder of education, then you start to see where the costs are going to have to come down. And that's when you get the reform. That's when you get to start be competitive with other states.
Because you're forced to. You just don't have the money.
Yeah, you're forced to. You just don't have the money. And that's where we are. I mean, it's outrageous. Teachers, you know, that's 70% typically of your property tax bill. All right. And great. You know, God bless them for the work they do. Honestly, I've had good teachers in my life. My kids have had good teachers in their lives. But the truth is, you know, 180 work days on top of that, 13 sick days, two personal days, you know, every single vacation off. And
but
then,
aren't most public
then,
workers
yeah,
kind of like that? Just, police, just, firefighters, others, like, don't they all fall in that category?
Yeah, and then you've got these rich pensions. So the average teacher comes out with like a $2.3 million pension after working about 35 years. I mean, the math does not work in the state of Illinois anymore.
The latest statewide poll, end of February, put youth 20 points behind Rauner, 51-31. I'm sure you do internal polling as well. Are you seeing that's tightening up quite a bit since that?
Yes.
Or what are you seeing?
Yes. There was another poll that was done that had us about 20 points apart closer than that, like 14 points apart. But when you overlay that with the data of who's voting and what, we know that we're even closer than that. And we've got the momentum on our side. And actually, if the turnout looks to be lower, like it's predicted to be, then that actually benefits our campaign, because those who are most motivated are going to come out and vote. And those will be our voters.
Let me ask you a question about teachers. I want to go back to this.
Sure.
Should teaching be a career?
I think for some, yes. I mean, some people have made it a career and they're very good at what they do, and they know how to manage a classroom and manage all the data, and they're good with kids, and there's something to be said about that. Of course, I think it's also really important that teachers are subject matter experts, especially at the higher level. So sometimes you get a better teacher who has actually lived a life outside of the teaching environment and doesn't just know teaching, but actually knows their subject matter really, really well. And those people should be allowed to come in a much easier manner.
All right, but the point here is that, and this is one of the things, I mean, this is not just in this campaign, this comes up in a lot of campaigns, mm-hmm. and it's a national debate about the role mm-hmm. of teachers, and why is it that you feel, and I know that a lot of conservatives feel, that if you're going to go after public workers, teachers are almost the first people to go after in terms of cutting the budgets on. Why? That seems like a pretty critical thing. I mean, public education, I don't know, you know, where you stand on this, but
sure.
But public education is the, you know, basically the rule of the land, not the law of the land, but the rule of the land. You can, and it's mm-hmm. where are we going to find these people to mm-hmm. teach the children? It's a pretty important thing here, especially as the culture and society and technology is changing so rapidly. Knowing things is very valuable.
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm actually pro-teacher. What I've talked about in terms of education is the administration. It's just gotten out of hand. So you've got 860 school districts, 25% of them are single school.
Yeah, but you're saying that the teachers who teach for that period of time, beginning, you said $2.3 million in terms of a pension, and you
yes,
said that, which
absolutely.
I think does put them in a category of you know, oh, these are entitled folks. I mean, that's the populist look.
Well, when
that.
It comes to pensions, they certainly are. They certainly are entitled folks. I mean, the average teacher puts in about $156,000, and on the back end, they get $2.3 million. The math just doesn't work. So they're entitled very much when it comes to their pensions. And it's something that is bankrupting our state. I mean, you can't spend 25 to 28% of your general revenues on teachers and think that you can actually support education in the classroom. Or infrastructure they're all complaining about we don't have internet service or we need additional resources. Well, you know what? We're spending it all on the teacher's pension. And it's just out of norm for what they're putting in. We've got to handle our pensions. And that's the focus.
What is that
here,
based
is
on,
pensions.
By the way, that $2.3 million in terms of years? Of
35
of
years.
Collecting.
About 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they buy out 2 years of sick leave that they've accumulated, which is, you know, completely incompatible with the private sector. Additionally, about 60% of your school districts pick up all or some of the employee's share of their pension. So literally, some of these teachers really don't pay for anything of their pensions. It's been negotiated that way. And you know, it's just not right.
You're a prominent woman in politics and have a military background. I want to ask you about the Me Too movement. We've seen Mike Madigan get beaten up recently because he didn't do enough to, people thought, to get in the way of something that was happening within his own office. He wasn't directly responsible for it, but it was happening under his watch. And there have been other instances in Springfield and across the state, of course. That how do you feel? What kind of is a reform that's needed here? Does government need to step in?
Well, government is now finally stepping in, you know, to put some more rules around, you know, okay, you have to have sexual harassment training. Honestly, we're all adults. You know sexual harassment because you're an adult. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. And it's a culture problem. And the culture is set really by the leadership and how well they respond to it. So the reason Mike Madigan should resign is twofold. One, he, along with John Cullerton, failed to put a legislative inspector general in for 3 years, even though there were 27 complaints pending. And it could be sexual harassment, could have been any ethical violations, but they literally swept it under the rug for 3 years. And but for Denise Rothheimer coming forward, we don't know when they would have ever put a legislative inspector general in, just did not want to deal with it. They don't want any negative press, they don't want anybody to say anything about them, and they want to just keep doing what they're doing. And then now what have you had? You've had Kevin Quinn resign, right? And then you had Shaw DeCramer have to resign as well and leave Mike Madigan's control. So, I mean, he's got a problem, and his caucus is actually calling for his resignation as the Democrat Party chair. And, you know, I, along with Scott Drury, have called for him to actually just resign. Mm-hmm. But he also should resign just because he's failed the citizens of Illinois for decades.
Well, let's talk about that. All right, so if you become governor of the state of Illinois, sure, what would you do to, and let's assume you don't have a Republican legislature.
Okay.
Right? Like as Bruce Runner does.
Right.
What would you do? What would you do differently than Bruce Runner is doing to try to get your way here?
Well, the Illinois governorship is a very powerful position. Unfortunately, we have a weak man in there. But, you know, Bruce Runner could have done a lot of different things, given that
he was not going to.
Yeah, what would I do? Right. Well, I'm going to work with Mike Madigan, or I'm going to work around Mike Madigan. But we're going to build the coalitions to get the
job done. How are you going to work around Mike Madigan?
The only way to do it. There's no other way to do it. It's not that. It's not easy work. It's really difficult work. But you have got to go straight to the voters and build the coalitions to pressure the legislators to make the reform happen.
Hasn't Governor Runner tried that, though?
Not really. We always were failing him for really not getting his hands too dirty and going down and really talking to voters and building the coalition. I mean, this is how the Democrat governor, or the current governor now, but at that time treasurer, Gina Raimondo of Rhode Island, got pension reform. She went and talked to the voters until finally they woke up the legislators and said, yeah, we got to do pension reform. You have to go to the voters. There's no other way. You have to win politically, or you build the coalitions to get the job done. But even if you can't get something done legislatively, you can at least run your agencies efficiently, which Rauner has failed to do. Think about what he's done with Veterans Affairs. Think about Medicaid, how it's not been reformed. All right. And you can also take on government corruption, which is an everyday event in the state of Illinois. You do not need Mike Madigan to take on government corruption. You don't need him to.
Right. But you do need Mike Madigan to, who, I mean, this is clear. I mean, we talked about this last week, and it occurred to me that Mike Madigan has been the Speaker of the House of Representatives since I was in high school, and I am an old man now. No one has been able to really. They've worked with him and they've worked around him in some respects, but never been able to go right through him. And, you know, part of what you're advocating here, and Bruce Rauner did the same thing, and he didn't do it, right? I mean, right. That's your argument, and I think a lot of people would probably agree with it, but it's at least there's got to be a moment. Now, he's not going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. There is talk that he may not stay after 2020 or 2022, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, will there be enough legislators to come along with you? I mean, Democrats are probably not going to come along with you. The one thing, I mean, I don't know, Ro.
I mean, honestly, the finances in the state of Illinois cannot be worse. We can't handle more out-migration. And I'll tell you what, we've had some conversations even this year already in spring session with Democrats who get it. Look, there was a Democrat going after the head of the U of I about the tuition just being way too high. Well, good. Glad to hear you. Let's work on that. So I think the roosters are coming, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost in the state of Illinois. And they understand, too, you can't continue this this economic climate and expect to be able to fund everything that you have to fund. And more importantly, Chicago is sitting on a balloon pension payment in 4 years that they cannot afford right now. It's going to take up 25% of your general revenues, and there's no way to fund it. It's doubling. Yes. It will double the amount of pensions that you have to pay. And you just went through how many different tax hikes, property tax hikes. I mean, the soda tax got repealed. But, I mean, you name it. You've had everything, and they cannot solve this. They have to come for relief. And when they come
from
for relief.
State.
Yeah, but it's relief in a different way. It's relief on reforming pensions.
Right.
And when they come and they ask for it, we're going to get it for everybody.
When the city comes and asks for it,
absolutely,
right? Which you already heard the mayor talking about, the mayor spends a lot of time in bankers' offices right now. Going, you know what we really need to do here?
We're not that bad, are we?
Here's what we need.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? I mean, are you guys aware of what they've done? They've taken the next 40 years of your sales tax revenue and they siphoned it off into a special fund, so they basically can clear the credit card and take on more debt. And they protected that fund from default, so the bondholders get paid out before taxpayers or pensioners or anybody else who provides a service.
Well, that's
a problem.
Well, you got to do that to get a bond. But all right. So you're talking about reaching across an aisle here if you become governor.
Yes.
Right. Okay. How are you going to be able to reach across the aisle to Chicago and other Cook County Democrats? After your second ad ran, which was I've got your attention now. The one that your third ad was, I got your attention now, with the lady with the pink hat, and then the guy dressed as a woman and all that. I mean,
thank you, Bruce Rauner.
But
that's what we call it.
A lot of people thought it preyed on stereotypes that were unfair, and even members of your own party kind of gave you some backlash. You lost some editorial board approvals, and maybe you don't care about that. But I think it's tended to offend, and it did get people's attention, and maybe it was effective in that way. But I think, didn't it turn people off? And if you're going to be the governor of the state, how do you unify those people who feel that those are your views?
Well, this is a Republican primary. And Republican primary voters needed to understand the policies choices that Governor Rauner made. And that's what the ad was about. The ad is a true depiction of who Governor Rauner sided with and the policy choices that he took on. That's what the ad is. And people who don't understand it really don't understand those policy choices then, in my opinion. And so it's not there to offend, it's there to wake up people and tell them what's going on.
To wake up Republican activists.
Well, Republican voters and anybody else who's paying attention. Look, I have Democrats who like that ad, too. They understand what the policy choices that he chose as well. So
J.B. Pritzker loves that ad. But,
sure, of
course. I don't think that if it's really about reaching across and being the governor for the entire state, If you are in the, let's say, the LGBTQ community, or you have someone in your family who is, why would they trust you?
I have same-sex couples working on my campaign for me. So the reason they trust me is because they know when it comes down to their pocketbook, they can trust me. Now, I mean,
obviously, you can't repeal marriage now because the Supreme Court is already.
You can't repeal that. We're going to follow federal law. I'm not interested in adjudicating or legislating adult consensual relationships.
Restricting adoption rights?
Restricting adoption rights.
Rights for gay couples?
Well, here's the problem with that whole thing, is the restriction that on adoption rights were to Lutheran services and Catholic services, saying that they can't place foster children as they see fit. So why can't they place foster children? Why shouldn't they be able to? That's the problem. You're looking at it from a restriction of another nature.
Do you think there should be a restriction of for adoption rights for gay couples?
You know what? I'm not going to look at that policy right now. I'm going to look at actually expanding adoption options and going back and letting Catholic services and Lutheran services adopt who they feel they want to. Why can't we have an all above on that one?
All right. So if they say no, it's okay. If Lutheran or Catholic churches say they don't want, they won't do that. Okay. And then in terms of, let's just jump into this very quickly before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Today there was this talk about this in terms of the Trump weapons issue here and school safety issue, sending stuff back to the state. So that would fall, if you were governor, right on your lap.
I've already voted on those bills. A lot of them.
So
I have a record on guns, and Rauner's hiding what he's going to do. So he's getting ready to betray the Republican Party once again when it comes to Second Amendment.
Okay, so let me just add, this is the one that gets everybody's attention right now, is this 18 to 21 situation. Sure. So high velocity, high capacity, long guns. is the one that they're looking at here. You know, that's, and there's going to be ways to define that, but the AR-15 and the AK-47, they fall into
the
this.
The AR-15 is actually not a high-velocity, high-capacity rifle. It's only a 5.56 millimeter.
Yeah, but it's a... Wait, what?
It's only a 5.56 bullet. It's not that...
But
it's not a high capacity. I mean, you have to define those terms.
Okay. So okay. 30 capacity in the magazine.
Okay, 30 capacity.
Okay, 30 capacity in the magazine. So the capacity of the magazine is, and the and it's a high velocity weapon, right? 3,300 feet.
There are
per
other
second,
ones
right?
that are higher, but
okay. But in terms of capacity plus velocity, do you think that we should move in the state of Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
If given the opportunity to move purchasing that style of weapon, that type of weapon, it would have to be defined, up to 21 with a military exemption.
Do you think that voting should be at 21 too?
Well, quite honestly, sometimes I do.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't do that. But no, but there are things that, listen, alcohol you can't buy until you're 21. There are things you can't buy till you're 21. There's things you can't do till you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be president of the United States until you're 35, right?
Well, can't it's be a really just a kind of an arbitrary number. You know, well, the average of mass murderers, the age is like 33. So it's really an arbitrary.
So the answer is no.
No, I actually, you know, here's the deal. Ro, I already have a record on that. I voted against that bill. I voted against that bill. Governor Rauner is the one who is not telling us how he's going to vote on any of these legislations.
Any restrictions?
I voted against it.
Any restrictions you would do on gun legislation right now? Would you?
I did vote to ban bump stocks, which we've had a ban on automatic weapons since 1934, and any device that would make it like an automatic should also be banned. That makes sense. But every other thing that we're looking at in terms of restricting Second Amendment rights is really only a restriction on those who are law-abiding citizens. You know what? When you can take the guns out of all the gangbangers sitting on the west and the south side shooting things up, because I looked at this and I was watching on the floor the same, and it's a horrible tragedy what happened in Parkland. Horrible. 17 people dead like that. Boom. That same week we had 19 shot and wounded in the city of Chicago, and it happens time and time again. And where's the enforcement on those?
Right.
And
but Parkland was, you have a single shooter. I think we all understand the difference there.
There's a difference.
It's a terrible thing here.
Government actually failed in that situation. There were no accountability measures for government in Parkland, and there were no bills in Springfield about government accountability.
What would you do about the gang situation in Chicago?
That's a good question. Difficult issue, I imagine, to solve, and it's got to be solved within that community to some degree. They've got to start talking
state troopers
to
on the
people.
Streets? More state troopers on the streets? That would be something you would be able to do as governor.
Yeah, that's true. I would see how the city wants us to support that effort, but certainly we need to have, I don't know that there's been as much focus on that, and then you've had a problem with the police situation here in the city of Chicago.
Death penalty for drug dealers?
President
brought that up this week.
Who did?
The president.
Oh, he did?
Death penalty for drug dealers.
For drug dealers.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you'd have to be a death penalty proponent to believe in that.
Are you a death penalty proponent?
Not necessarily, unless the DNA is, like, definitive.
Okay. So, because he brought it up. I didn't bring it up. Okay. That was his Saturday, at a Saturday rally. He likes what they're doing in the Philippines.
But back to taxes and the state's economy, because it's in the tank, and we're not even talking about the things that most people care about, which is their property taxes and job opportunities and good education. And let's talk about the lies that Rauner is spewing about me being Mike Madigan's best friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I tend when we talk to all the people, I tend to not make it about their campaigns and more about what they stand for.
All right, good.
The ads are all out there for this. We see what all the lies. I read the book.
Oh, you read the book.
It's all about.
And you don't always
lies.
Read the book. Right. So that's
I don't.
Big.
It was small print, and I got through with that. All right, Jeannie Ives, thank you very much for being
Thanks
here.
For
Appreciate
having
it. Right now, we have got Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
We're talking flowers.
Now we're going to talk flowers
and beautiful things.
Really
nice smelling things.
Tony Arbuscata was here, the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. He's the dude who runs the whole thing.
The lead guy.
And this year's theme for the 2018 Chicago Flower and Garden Show is Flower Tales, T-A-L-E-S. Oh. Flowers don't have tails. Do they have tails?
No.
Okay. No. Flower Tales. Every garden has a story to tell. And we were just saying this about the Flower and Garden Show. You know,
I love it.
When I first heard people talking about the Flower and Garden Show on this very radio station, which mm-hmm. was the home of the Flower and Garden Show yes. for many, many, many decades, and Kathy and Judy made it a personal. I think they made the Flower and Garden Show a gigantic star in this town.
They did.
They're very really so. Important to the whole thing. I never understood it. You know, I'm a guy. I don't garden. I don't know. I got people who garden. I don't understand the gardening. But then people would say, no, you don't get it, man. You just don't get it.
You got to go.
Even the most, even guys who would not, and so the guys who wear their hat backwards would say to me, dude, you don't get it. It's like really cool. And then you go to, you go to the Flower and Garden Show and you're like, oh my God.
It's so fun. Because
it takes you into another world. Even if you're not, if you don't understand anything that's going on there,
right?
Like that's me. True. You're like, wow.
It's like Flower Disney World.
Yeah, it's so funny you mention that because today, you know, we bring in 1,300 tons of sand to mm-hmm. build the base on this and all the bricks and the stone. And we had one of the Bobcat operators, the front loader, where, you know, yeah. dumping all the sand. And he came up to me and he's like, you know, I would have never probably come to this thing, but this is amazing. You know,
it's like, that's great.
He's like, this is like unbelievable. He's like, people got to see this.
It's summer, yeah. You've moved it. It's a little, you know, closer to summer than it used to be, right? Than it used to be in February.
No,
right? No, went the other way. Okay,
yeah.
But the
just like you said, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, and you can sort of sense, I think, with obviously daylight saving time and all that, mm-hmm. you get a little sense that spring is right around the corner. But you transport people right into the summer.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really cool.
Today they delivered, let's see, we had 85, they changed it from 70 different varieties to 85 different varieties of tulips today. So we had somewhere around 4,500 tulips enter the building and 26 different varieties of hyacinths, probably 1,300 hyacinths. And you know that smell, the hyacinths have that smell.
I love it.
And everything. And you see all this color. And then we've got koi ponds and all these things. And you're like, yeah, this is it. I was sitting on a bench today. I saw one of the workers today was having his lunch. And he was sitting on like this big stone, and he was staring across at one of these gardens. Mm-hmm. He was like he was outside having lunch, you know.
See, that's the thing. You go there and you get inspired, and then you go back and you look at your space. I have a balcony. Yeah. I'm like, I can't really put the koi pond on the balcony, but you can still do things, and it gets you really kind of cool, you know, just to think about. Because I find gardening therapeutic. I don't get to do that much of it. I'll do herbs or little things right. like that, but it is so fun and such knowledgeable people that give you ideas. And then it's just cool for, like, even kids can walk around and just, they love it.
We're one of the,
I was going to say, next time my landscaper gives me a bill, I'm just going to say, but it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
I'm doing this as a favor to you.
Yeah. It's helping you.
We're one of the only garden shows in the world
yeah.
that has a kids activity garden. We have mm-hmm. 9 free activities a day for kids.
So what do they do in the garden?
So it's
make a mess.
We bring in the Illinois Master Gardeners from the University of Illinois Extension. Wow. And so they have good bugs and bad bugs. And
oh,
they
cool.
teach them all about bugs and composting.
Oh, I love that.
They can create their own biodegradable flower pot.
What's a bad bug? Like a bug that's bad for the trees and the plants?
Bad for the trees and things that are...
You don't bring scorpions in. Or anything
right.
like that.
No.
Look, Mommy, look what I found. Ow! No, right?
For the
no.
ash borers okay. that kill all the trees.
We do have a little tarantula in there.
Why not?
Just for
make it
kids.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a life lesson they need to learn somewhere.
Madagascar cockroaches that are about 6 inches
long. Do you have those?
Long.
Do you have those? Are really cool. Have you ever said they do? I mean, they have a personality. They're so big, they have a personality.
Yeah.
you're like, oh my God, cockroach has a thought in its head. All right.
See,
so,
that's not what you'd expect.
No, but it's fun. So you got stuff for the kids to go do.
Yeah.
And there's liquor for the people to, you walk around, you have a glass of wine and you walk around, or there's a beer or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then,
you know, a little mommy juice.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. You got to have that. And then you get transported, and it's a great feeling. It's different than walking into, like, you know, you can go, and not that there's anything wrong with these things, but you know, you've got, you know, throughout Chicago, you do have some of the best, like, indoor you know, Flower, mm-hmm. the conservatory kind of places, mm-hmm. like in Linkin Park and Garfield Park and stuff like that. But it's always like, you know, super humid in those places, mm-hmm. and you're like, that doesn't feel right. It feels it not at the Flower Garden. It feels, you know, like you're comfortable and it's beautiful all at the same time.
Well, thank you.
I love
you.
What
and
you've
yes,
done there, Tony. You've changed the world. What you are the what Kathy and Judy did to take it to here, you mm-hmm. you're taking it to there.
Well, we're trying. That's what, you know, that's our big thing. We're taking it into steps and gradually. Obviously, we're not backed by the Tribune Corporation as, you know, it once was. And so yes. we raise those dollars and make it happen. And what we're doing, though, is we're focusing a lot on kind of what you said, Anna, is mm-hmm. the education part. So you don't have to be an expert gardener to come to the show. There's all these people there. You can take classes. We have 120 some classes and workshops that you can take. Or it's just a nice, you know, it's a nice day at Navy Pier. You can come yeah. out, hang out at the pier. There's all the new restaurants and everything that they're doing there.
A new and improved Harry Carey's out there.
New and improved Harry Carey's. Oh. Ding, ding.
Oh, did I mention that? Oh, am I a partner in that? I guess I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're, I think that's the thing about it is kind of like this, you know, front loader driver today is that, you know, people, you say, oh, Flower and Garden Show, and they think you're, I always say, they think your grandmother's prize rose on a table. Yeah. You know, it's going to be all this whole thing. But when they, once they come in, and even the guys come in and they say, oh my gosh, and I didn't think about this.
I had
this.
No idea. Look at this.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
Where's the bar?
You know, somebody, I think I was one on a different show, same station, different show, but they said
that's allowed.
You know, mm-hmm. said, "Hey,
other
why
station,
am I?"
No.
You know, like, "Hey, I'm a guy. Why would I go to the Flower and Garden Show?" And the first thing I said, "Well, our audience is 70% female, so you never know
that's
who
a
you
good
could
point.
You
very
never know who you could meet while you're there."
Speaking of which, earlier they were the boys on the show, the men on the show were having this debate about where they can find man gloves for the gardening.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
Oh, I found them.
Yeah, because they were like too the girly. Boys,
not they the normally men. Like flowers decorating the gloves. We need something a little different.
They got they have plenty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can buy all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You can buy all that stuff. We even have, I've been talking about, we have a, I compare it to the, you know, the Roomba that you put in mm-hmm. your house and it yeah. vacuums automatically?
Mm-hmm. Those are yeah. great.
This is one for your yard. It's called the Auto Mower, and we're debuting it at the Flower and Garden
wow.
Show, and it will automatically cut your grass like the Roomba would vacuum your house. And so it keeps taking off little bits of grass all the time.
Every time it goes.
So you never have clippings. You never have to rake. You don't have to do all these things. Oh. And it works in the yard. And so we'll have things like that. And now they're
fine.
Wait
a second. Hold on.
That's
okay.
a reason
wait,
to go along.
I'm trying to do the math like Jeannie Ives was in here. And I was trying to do the pension math. Uh-huh. I'm trying to do the math on this. So how does it never... So it goes like every day then?
It's constantly working?
Yeah. It works every day or maybe every other day. It judges, you know, the length. And
then it goes out there.
It goes out
and
there.
It takes just enough off that it doesn't, that you don't have to like suck up clippings or bag them or anything like that.
Right. Right. And so, I mean, if you're OCD, this is...
Oh, like, my God. This is like right up my alley.
This is amazing.
I want this for my carpet.
This,
my carpet
bro.
Doesn't grow. Yeah. I don't know what I want to do.
Honey, I'm going to go mow the lawn.
Yeah. Well, then it takes that away,
watch
though.
The Roomba going.
It takes the whole mow. The people who like the zen part of like getting on that thing and uh-huh. then riding around on it.
Well,
I think you just like the credit.
I don't like the idea of it. I've never had a lawn that big. But I've got just my little area.
Well, you had you had people, you said.
Yeah. I do. I've got a guy. I hired this company that, and they, you know, it's for like, you know, $40 a month or something. They show up and they make sure that the thing looks nice. And it's not a lot, and it's a tiny area, but they're always planting something that's pretty yeah. and it's nice. It's I love sitting out there. So now I cannot wait. It opens Wednesday, by the way.
Right? Yeah.
The Flower and Garden Show. It mm-hmm. opens Wednesday and it goes through Sunday, right? It just doesn't seem like enough. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to check it out Saturday and see like where all of the I'm going to be the only sober person on Saturday within 100 miles of the downtown Chicago, but only sober for a certain period of time, I think.
Certainly.
And then I'm going to be able to you know take this whole thing in because there's great ideas and I never thought I'd be into this on any level.
Well,
but Tony has explained to me exactly why I should be.
You can take pictures of it, Ro, and then you can give it to your guy that does your garden.
It's actually a gal now.
Gal.
It's a gal.
So you
it's a guy gal. It's a gal. It's all
gal.
Gals. It's like a Wonder Woman. They should rename it Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like. Landscaping,
yeah,
because it's what they are. They're like all these, you know.
You got a gal.
Yeah,
we have a new builder this year called Lizette Medina Landscape, and female owned. And our, we also have Christy Weber Landscape, female-owned.
Sure, sure.
But Lizette Medina had built the Subaru Garden, which is a tribute to Wizard of Oz, because we have that flower tales. Oh. Every garden has a
poppies.
Story to tell. So believe it or not, though, this is a little takeoff on it. So it's more echinacea and cone flowers, and then it's not quite the copyright and trademark infringement.
Oh, yeah, you don't want poppies anyway, because people have been, you know, grabbing
people
them.
Get ideas.
Doing bad things with them and stuff like that. Yeah. All right, listen. Do you want to go? If you want to go, I have... three pairs of tickets right now. Caller's number 19, caller's number 20, caller number 21. Rips us off for a pair of tickets. By the way, the number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Mm-hmm. You win a pair of tickets to the 2018 Chicago Flower and Garden Show with the theme Flower Tales. Every garden has a story to tell, but no poppies. Running Wednesday through Sunday. All the information you need is at chicagoflower.com. Wow. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you, because I never thought I didn't. You know, he takes this gig. He's done a lot of great things.
It's
in this
unbelievable.
Town. Tony Arbuscato has, but now he's turned this into something that is just it's one of the must see events of the year in Chicago.
Tony told me I got to go to the Flower and Garden Show.
Yeah. Plus, in Chicago, guys can say that. And then it's okay. Tony told me I got to go. I got to go for better flower and garden.
I got a guy, you know? as you know, Ro, you know, I've got the Tea Flowers moniker, so.
Yeah, it's Tea Flowers, right, with all the guys.
Yeah.
All the guys from Elmwood Park refer to him as Tea Flowers.
Oh, that's
hey,
great.
Have you seen Tea Flowers around here?
I love that you're from Elmwood Park. That's so great.
I'm not, but they are.
No, they are. Those guys are from Elmwood
those
Park.
Guys.
Oh, yeah. Those guys. Yeah.
Those
okay.
guys.
The Elmwood Park guy, the Elmwood Park crew calls him Tea Flowers.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Anna. Mm-hmm. I think if I told you anything else,
no, I kind of I'm familiar indictment. With this particular group, so yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's quite high form of praise.
It's all guys from Elmwood Park who ended up in the entertainment business. It was kind of an interesting thing.
Is that what they call it?
I don't know how to, yeah, that's what they call it. I don't know how that happened.
That's awesome.
Maybe a few more in trucking too. I can't recall. All right, ChicagoFlower.com. Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Really
thanks,
good.
Tony.
Amazing
to be
amazing thing at Navy Pier. Go out and check it out this week into the weekend. All right, right now let's find out from Violetta what's coming up.